Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. GM, it's being called a major announcement from the CEO tomorrow morning. Major downsizing is expected. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says General Motors is in a bad way.
In the latest sales numbers, you saw just a stunning decline. Particularly in trucks and SUVs. GM's truck sales are down so far this year 20%. We're looking at a just devastating and sudden drop in automobile sales that has Detroit reeling.
And the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Keith Crane, Automotive News.
Given their size, given their current market share, they simply have too many production facilities. They have too many people inside the company creating and designing and engineering vehicles.
GM stock dropping to 50-year lows in recent weeks. The executive ban on offshore oil drilling implemented by his father lifted today by the current President Bush.
With this action, the executive branch's restrictions on this exploration have been cleared away. This means that the only thing standing between the American people and these vast oil resources is action from the U.S. Congress.
I'm Dan Revive. Democrats are clearly unwilling to do that. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says there are tens of millions of acres onshore unexplored.
We want oil and gas companies to drill for oil on the leases they've been given.
A statement from the Obama campaign says if offshore drilling would provide short-term relief, it might be a good idea, but it wouldn't. Republican John McCain responds,
I hope that, as he has on several other issues, Senator Obama will change his position and now support.
A congressional ban on offshore oil drilling remains in effect. The Obama campaign is not amused. A spokesman for the Democratic presidential candidate calls it tasteless and offensive. The New Yorker magazine calls its cover satirical. It shows Barack Obama dressed as a Muslim, his wife as a terrorist. The era of no-doc loans is over, the kind of loan that many say is responsible for getting many people into mortgage trouble. The Federal Reserve changing the rules today.
You shouldn't have to be told if you're a lender that you need to verify someone's income before you make a loan. But under this new regulation, they are taking that step and saying you need to do that.
Guy Sakala publishes Inside Mortgage Finance. What a concept! The Federal Aviation Administration announcing measures today to improve runway safety, including the installation at major airports of lights that signal pilots when a runway is safe to enter.
These are like traffic lights. They change color when it's safe to enter a runway. What they do is they're at the intersection of two runways or at the intersection of a taxiway and a runway.
David Field, U.S. editor, Airline Business Magazine, already tested in Dallas and San Diego. The runway lights coming to a couple of dozen airports across the country. On Wall Street today, the Dow dropping 46 points, the NASDAQ losing 26, S&P 500 down 11. This is CBS News.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, what else would you call a place that can save you hundreds when you switch? And even more if you're a good driver. You see, at Progressive, you're rewarded for slowing down at yellow lights, using your directional, and yes, yielding at yield signs. Sounds utopian, Did I mention this music is played by actual angels with harps? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield, Fields, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at Effector help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help you get your life back in order. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics. Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-536-9092. That's 800-536-9092. 800-536-9092.
It is impossible to determine what top Bush administration officials knew and when they knew it in the friendly fire death of Pat Tillman. These are the findings of a congressional committee today. CBS News correspondent David Martin.
They were unable to find a smoking gun and could do little more than note what they felt was a very remarkable lack of recall among these senior officials about when they learned about Tillman's death and what they learned about it.
A near universal lack of recall is how the report puts it. Where in the world is Steve Fawcett? Search planes, even satellites, could not find any trace of adventurer Steve Fawcett. And now a team of elite athletes and expert mountaineers will try. They'll begin a new search. Fawcett declared legally dead in February, 5 months after he was last seen taken off from a remote Nevada ranch. The 10-member research team will focus on remote wooded areas near where he was last seen. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
So, there's a new stress treatment.
What is it?
It's the Sizzlin' Sampler from the United States Virgin Islands.
Now get $200 off our attractions and activities, a $100 traveler's check, up to $100 resort or room credit.
And your fourth night free. Call your favorite travel agent today.
Side effects include a favorable disposition toward rush hours and long work weeks. Offer valid at participating hotels on reservations through October 15, 2008 for travel between August 16th and October 31st, 2008. Blackout dates and restrictions apply.
At My Midas, they know it all. When do brakes squeak?
Your brake pads may be worn.
Why do front brake pads wear faster than the rear?
They do 70% of the braking.
Huh. Will my team win the big game?
Sorry, it's not their year.
It never is.
Your local Midas has all the honest answers, like the Midas Secure Stop Brake Service. That's a 55-point brake inspection and lifetime guaranteed pads engineered to provide exceptional stopping power. Find your neighborhood shop at Midas.com.
Trust the Midas touch.
Subject to availability. See MidasSecureStop.com for restrictions and information about the lifetime guarantee.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. He's tanned, he's rested, and he only has to do one show a day this week, so his mindset is slightly improved. Welcome to the PBC Show. Lots to talk about, great people to talk with. Your calls and comments welcome all along the way. 888-5-PETER-B, that's my toll-free number. In digits, that's 888-573-8372. Banks are failing. The Fed's bailing out Freddie and Fannie. I don't understand it all, but I think David K. Johnston does. He'll join me in a moment. Former New York Times money writer. Also on today's program, we're going to follow the money that bought the FISA bill last week. Sean Tanner, the research director from MapLight.org. They keep tabs on all the legalized bribery, the campaign contributions that hit Washington. And I did a little research myself and learned, for example, that Jay Rockefeller, the Democrat who heads the Senate Intelligence Committee, and I'll refrain from any jokes about the name of that committee, got $67,000 from two telephone companies alone, AT&T and Verizon. We'll give you more details with Sean Tanner later this hour. Cliff Schechter next hour, the author of The Real McCain. And John McCain technically is not even qualified to be president of the United States. And that doesn't have to do with Wesley Clark's inartful comment a couple of weeks ago. It has to do with a careful reading of the Constitution and his birth status. He is not a natural-born American. He was born in the Panama Canal Zone. We'll talk about that with Cliff and other issues, too. Richard Charter from the Defenders of Wildlife Action Fund will get a look at his view on President Bush announcing a lift to the executive order banning offshore drilling, and Nancy Pelosi, who wants to tap into the strategic oil reserves. Which is more of a boneheaded idea? And in our free speech zone today, we give free speech to those people who just will not let go of the Hillary Clinton candidacy. Will Bauer from Just Say No Deal will check in. They've raised $10 million since we talked to him 2 weeks ago to help retire Hillary's debt. And he went on the friendly Fox News channel over the weekend to say, Obama, we don't need your help. We've got this taken care of. And also, there are a lot of people who are disaffected with Barack Obama because of that FISA vote. Will they join the Hillaryites? Will there be an open convention? Well, that's what we're going to air out in our free speech zone coming up in the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. As I mentioned, David K. Johnston was formerly with the New York Times. He retired from there recently, and he's busy writing, and he's written three books over the last 15 years, Free Lunch, Perfectly Legal, and Temples of Chance. And I turn to David when I need to understand complex things that are beyond my training. David, how are you today?
Just fine, Peter.
Well, let's start with Freddie and Fannie. What the hell's going on with those two?
Well, this is a good example of collateral damage. Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae make sound mortgages. They make them to people who put 20% or more down and who prove they have the income to make the payments on their mortgage. But all these other places making subprime mortgages have managed to first inflate the price of housing to unrealistic levels in a lot of places, like where you are.
Yep.
And then get people to take mortgages that had a reset feature. And in many cases, people were going along paying 6% interest and could afford that, or suddenly told you owe 11% interest. Your payment will essentially double.
Mm-hmm.
And with the price of housing dropping, if you didn't put anything down, and if you lied about your income, why you walk away from those houses? And what happens when people start abandoning houses in a neighborhood? Well, those houses have weeds, and the neighborhood goes downhill, and the value of your house that you bought appropriately goes down, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happened.
So, Paul Krugman, your former colleague at the Times, has a good column.
He was an opinion. I was in news. That's sort of church and state, but
all right.
Same paymaster, different bosses.
Yeah, you got checks from the same company. He has an op-ed in Monday's New York Times, and he makes a similar point that Freddie and Fannie only take prime mortgages. They have no subprime exposure. So, really, are they catching a cold from the investment bankers and the mortgage companies countrywide and others who bundled up all of these good loans with bad loans? I cannot forget, David, last time you were on with me, you put it in real simple term, you said hamburger.
Yeah, well, they aren't just catching a cold, they're catching pneumonia, and it isn't just the investment bankers and the mortgage brokers who were steering people into these bad loans because they got big fees. It's your government. We have a system to regulate banks. The regulators were handcuffed. They were told, oh, no, the market will take care of itself. Never mind that we have hundreds of years of history that doesn't work, that we have trials that went on as long as that I've been able to find 2,500 years ago of people for the kind of conduct that went on now. The same mistakes keep getting made because people hear that siren song, oh, government is bad, markets are good. Well, markets are good, but they have rules. And if you have a government that says, there are no rules, go do what you want to do, we don't care, we trust you, guess what? The predators are having a great time until they've left the rest of us with all this damage.
Mm-hmm. Now, another point that Krugman makes is that the way Fannie and Freddie are set up is very unusual. They're private companies with stockholders and profits. They are government-sponsored enterprises. And he writes, this implicit guarantee means that profits are privatized, but losses are socialized. So,
well,
with...
I think Paul's being a little narrow here, Peter, because, you know, Bear Stearns, one of the most aggressive cowboy outfits on Wall Street, people who pushed the envelope, and that's a polite way of describing what they did for years. When they got into trouble, you and I put up $30 billion to bail them out, and the owners, instead of getting the appropriate price for their shares, zero, got $10 each because we have a government policy of no billionaire left behind. And so this privatizing of profits and socializing of risks and losses is endemic to our society. That's a lot of what my book Free Lunch is about. It's about people don't understand that all sorts of areas, transportation, shipping, electricity, home insurance, that the government has put in place rules that allow people to take the profits, and if things go badly, you, the taxpayer, get to pick up the losses.
And so as we're looking at this situation right now, the big drop in the shares of Freddie and Fannie last week, was that a panic that was somewhat induced by the run on the bank at IndyMac?
It absolutely was influenced by this. And in addition, you know, there's a market in short sellers. And the Securities and Exchange Commission just announced basically they're going to go after them. A short seller is someone who borrows stock and sells it when they don't own it, or in many cases just sells a stock they don't own and then expects to profit when the price falls, because if you can sell something for $100 and buy it back for $50, mm-hmm. you make money.
Right.
The only way you can make that money is by persuading the market to drive the price of something down. And the SEC announced today that they are going to start rigorously enforcing the rules on spreading lies, they called them rumors, that damage the market. Well, where have they been for the last umpteen years?
Well, that's a very good question. And didn't the Fed last week announce a rigorous program to close the barn door after all the horses had escaped? They're essentially now requiring banks that borrow from them to adhere to stricter lending practices. And the word is that most of those risky practices are no longer in place anyway.
Well, I got to tell you, when I read the official announcement, I literally laughed out loud. Among other things, they said they're going to have truthful advertising. We never repealed the laws like TILA, the Truth in Lending Act.
Mm-hmm.
We never repealed the laws that said you have to be honest in your dealings. But, you know, we now know from mortgage brokers and their agents and from borrowers that, for example, Countrywide would show up at people's offices with loan documents, and people would say, well, wait a minute, this wasn't the deal that I agreed to. And they'd say, oh, well, if there are errors, we'll fix them later. But you need to sign the papers or we're not going to be able to make you the loan because there's a window here and the time is running out. And people trusting them would sign these papers. Now, they were fools to trust them, but this was not some odd practice here and there. This
right.
was common practice.
Mm-hmm.
Where were the regulators? Well, they were exactly where they were told to be by the administration in Washington and most of the state governments. Stay at your desk. See no evil.
Mm-hmm. We'll call you when we need you.
Absolutely.
So, David K. Johnston, what do you see shaping up here? The Fed is going to guarantee the loans of Fannie and Freddie. They basically opened up the that special discount window, and at least for a limited time, they're going to loan very large amounts of money to Freddie and Fannie.
Yeah, it's not clear they're doing it through the discount window, Peter, but they've committed, they've been telling reporters in Washington in these background sessions, because God forbid you should be accountable for your words to the public. When I was a reporter, I just didn't allow people to do that. You want a name, rank, and serial number, you don't get your OR in the paper. But they've apparently committed in to these two institutions $300 billion. Now, that's one-third, almost, about 28% of the income taxes people paid last year.
Mm-hmm.
It is, a year and a half of the costs of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, something like that?
And isn't that an increase of a factor of 150? Because isn't the current lending to Freddie and Fannie only $2 billion?
Oh, it's very minor. Now, here's the underlying problem with these two institutions that were chartered by the government. Banks have to have a reserve of capital. When you deposit your paycheck at the bank, you're loaning that money to the bank. The
mm-hmm.
bank then takes that money, on which you get little or no interest, and loans it out to people, and it lives off the spread between, if you get nothing, zero interest, and whatever they get for it. And then the person who borrows it writes a check to someone for a car or a house or a company they buy, and that money gets deposited, and it gets reloaned again. Banks do not have enough cash to pay everybody off. That's the whole point of banking, is that there's this creation of money through the banking system.
Mm-hmm.
And banks, therefore, have to have a large reserve for that money which people do call on, and occasionally there's a blip. You know, the normal withdrawals for a bank, if they're $1 billion a day, suddenly are $8 billion, and they have to have enough money to cover that. Well, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae were allowed to operate with a tiny reserve of capital. And people wrote about this. Barron's warned people about it 4 years ago. The housing bubble, which was at the core of this, was not an unseen phenomenon. I wrote two stories in 2003 pointing out that housing prices were escalating since 1995, far above the rate of inflation, 60% in New England, about 60% in the Bay Area, and that's just not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So the core problem here, the real core problem, is our government and people electing to office, those people who said, we don't need regulation. You don't need to eat spinach. You can just have ice cream all the time and be healthy.
That's what Phil Gramm told us, and now we're not allowed to whine about it. We're going to take.
Sorry if I'm whining.
We're going to take a break and return with David K. Johnston. C-A-Y is his middle name, and he used to write for the New York Times. Pick up his book, Free Lunch. It's a fascinating look at how our government, as he said, leaves no billionaire behind. If you have a question or comment, call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Patty Ross with your real estate update for the Monterey Peninsula for the week of July 14th. Short sales, pre-foreclosures. Not sure why they call them short sales. They should be called long sales. But they are a great opportunity for a good deal. You do have to have patience, time, and a very good short sale facilitator, which of course I do have, to make sure that the offers get to the bank and get accepted. Here are a couple of examples of short sales from $2 million to $200,000. No area or price range is exempt from this phenomenon right now. And the first property is at 170 Malpaso Road. That's in the Carmel Highlands, South Coast. This has three bedrooms, three and a half baths at $2,275,000. This is really an incredible value. Over $1 million price reduction here. It's got stunning ocean and whitewater views from every single room. You can just bask in the splendor of this newly constructed contemporary home, boasting some of the most expansive views on the Monterey Peninsula. It's perched way up on a hill, actually eye level with the birds. It's got two master bedrooms on opposite sides of the house. You can watch the whales from the fabulous decks, 2,490 square feet on three-quarters of an acre. Absolutely majestic. Next, we go out to Marina at 3162 Eucalyptus Street. This is a two-bedroom, one-bath for only $225,000. This is the lowest-priced condo in Marina right now. It's just perfect for that first-time buyer or investor. It has a real fresh, clean look, new paint, close to the shops, to the park, the beach, and the library. It has an open eat-in kitchen with a dishwasher. Carport and guest parking, $320 HOA dues, which includes hot water. Wonder if that includes cold water. Not quite sure. Anyway, 912 square feet. Our transaction coordinator was just telling me the other day that four out of every five transactions she has worked on these last few months have been short sales or bank-owned property. Wow. It's probably going to take about 3 to 5 years for this to pass. But as my mom used to say, all things do pass eventually. Any questions about these properties, you'd want to give me a ring at 236-4513. Email me at pattyross@kw.com. Or check out these and lots of other listings at my website, www.pattyrosscarmel.com.
Bouncing off the satellite. We're talking about the economic problems, the issues with Fannie and Freddie, and IndyMac Bank. David K. Johnston's helping me sort through it because he knows so much more than I do. Former writer for the New York Times, and he's published several books over the last few years. The most recent, Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. And David, in the preceding segment, you were talking about how the Fed is going to make $300 billion available in credit to Fannie and Freddie. And this doesn't actually get paid out and go into circulation, so they're not going to have to run the printing presses. Exactly how does that work, and what are you and I as taxpayers on the hook for here?
Well, I wouldn't be sure they're not going to run the printing presses. There's a significant risk here of igniting inflation with what they're doing. It doesn't mean it will happen, but it is certainly a risky proposition. But essentially what they're going to end up doing is they're going to end up, as they did with Bear Stearns, taking on bad mortgages and therefore relieving the pressure on Freddie Mac. They may have to actually put cash into it. They have discussed the government buying stock and putting capital into Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And you don't want these places to collapse. I mean, awful as it is that we're caught here in another bailout, you don't want to risk the awful things that can happen here with a collapse in the economy. But the real concern is, what if this doesn't work? If housing prices continue to fall, then you'll have more people who will make the rational decision, especially if they don't have any equity in their house and didn't put any money into it, so there's nothing for them to save or very little to save, to walk away from their house, in many cases stay there a long time. And what we're doing is a top-down solution. There's another way to go at this. Congress can say, excuse me, you folks who made these loans, if someone can afford the payments they're making now, rewrite the terms of the loan so that the people keep making the payments at the current level.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you got to pay a fee. Perhaps if you are 3 years into a 30-year mortgage, you may end up having to pay for 30 more years instead of 27. But we should also be looking at the bottom side of this and removing the incentives for people to walk away.
Right.
And if you live in a neighborhood where there's a lot of houses, Stockton is a good example, where lots and lots of houses now are in foreclosure and will be.
Yep.
Do yourself a favor. Get together with your neighbors and go mow the lawns at the abandoned houses.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a light on them. You know, nothing's more attractive to teenagers than an available house.
Well, and there are bathtubs there where meth can be cooked. And
all sorts of bad things.
David, the other thing is there's now no market in Modesto and Stockton. There are no sellers and there are no buyers.
Yeah.
David, I wanted to ask you just one more thing about IndyMac. A friend in the real estate business told me that almost 60% of the foreclosures that she sees are loans that originated from IndyMac in the last 2.5 years, most of them at 100 or 110%. How do we parse the liability here? Is it greedy borrowers or predatory lenders, or was it just a perfect storm of both?
Oh, I don't know if it's a perfect storm, but it certainly is both. It's also naive people. Many, many people do not understand capital. They understand the flow of income, but they don't understand assets. And I mentioned people who, you know, when they were told the loan papers will fix whatever errors in them, and they signed them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Foolish as that is, lots of people are trusting, and they signed them. But fundamentally, when they made all these loans, the price of the stock of the parent company, Countrywide, went through the roof. Mr. Mazzillo has collected in the neighborhood of $500 million in profits. That he got. It'll be interesting to see how much of that he keeps and whether he avoids going to prison over this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to depend on a lot of work.
Out of time.
Would have been cheaper.
Yep, quickly.
Would have been cheaper putting the cops on the beat and telling them to do their job.
David K. Johnston, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. This is Dave Ross and for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Meet the new war, which is, in fact, the old war.
Afghanistan was the forgotten war as we focused so much over the last several years on the war in Iraq.
I'll be back with more after this.
Cubicles, temporary housing for the business world. Corporate America's way of saying close but no cigar, or door, or dignity. These open-air monuments to labor leave you exposed to all the workplace elements, and yet there you sit every day waiting to upgrade. Well, at Budget Rent-A-Car, we're in the upgrading business. To prove it, we're offering you the big boy upgrade. A single-class upgrade every time you rent a car. It's just one more way Budget is upgrading the entire rental car experience. We call it big boy service without the big boy prices. Too long a motto to hang in a cube, but a good way to make sure that all the services we offer, from e-receipt to fast break, get you on the road faster and happier. So if you want the big boy upgrade, stick a note on that half a wall you call a workstation and remind yourself to rent like a genius. Show off your business sense and you can get a single class upgrade every time you rent. Just go to budget.com/upgrade. Rent Budget and rent like a genius. Subject to availability. See website for full terms and conditions.
It's beginning to look like the Iraq war is winding down. The Iraqi government wants a timetable, and while the White House seemed initially resistant to the idea, the U.S. is hardly in a position to insist that U.S. troops stay if the country they liberated wants them to leave. And CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says it's about time. They're needed back in Afghanistan. You remember Afghanistan?
Our shifting of forces too quickly from Afghanistan in preparation for the invasion of Iraq was a serious strategic error. But only now we're really suffering the consequences of.
On Sunday, Taliban forces, those are the guys we beat back in 2002, hit a remote U.S. base near the Pakistan border. This wasn't just a raid. This was a sustained pre-dawn attack using machine guns, mortars, and rocket-propelled grenades. Mike Lyons, also a CBS News military consultant, says this is no ragtag army.
It seems as though the attack says the Taliban is well-organized and fighting in a traditional military sense.
When the shooting finally stopped, a lot of the insurgents were dead, but so were 9 U.S. soldiers, making this the deadliest attack in 3 years. And where the Taliban take control, they're doing what they do best, imposing the death penalty in God's name. Latest victims, 2 women accused of providing prostitutes to U.S. soldiers and contractors. The local governor described them as innocent local people, but no matter. The execution squad dressed them in blue burqas and gunned them down. Mike Lyons.
The fact that they've been able to keep a low profile for the past few months and now come back, recruited more people, they've been supplied by somebody.
Jeff McCausland says clearly their lifeline leads straight to Pakistan.
To be successful in Afghanistan requires for us to be successful in Pakistan, which may even be a larger undertaking than the war in Iraq.
The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue the Peter B. Collins Show here in surveillance-friendly America. Thursday afternoon last week, with Dick Cheney gloating over his shoulder, George W. Bush signed the capitulation from the House and Senate, facilitated by many Democrats. What do you say we follow the money? Yeah, all last week my air was filled with suspicion, taking a look at the way so many Democratic senators and 2 weeks before Congress members really repudiated the Constitution and the values that progressives and conservatives hold rather dear. And they gave us the new FISA law, which not only enhances and expands the ability for our government to monitor the communications of Americans without a warrant, but it papers over the intentional lawbreaking, the 30-plus felonies known to have been committed by the Bush administration, and the complicity of the phone companies who collaborated with them. It's a disaster, and as we scratched our heads and said, why? Why would the Democrats permit it? Why would they collaborate? Why would they actively help the Bush administration cover this up and seriously erode our Fourth Amendment rights? Sean Tanner is research director at maplight.org. He oversees the accuracy and timeliness of their data, and they collect a lot of it. He's been a database administrator working on prison conditions in California, and he's also worked with the National Center for Youth, Law, and Human Rights Watch. Welcome to our program today, Sean.
Hey, Peter. Pleasure to be on.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I'm hoping you can shed some light on exactly what motivated these Democrats, 21 in the Senate, 80-some, I think it was 81 in the House, to vote against my interests and what I thought were their interests to support a bad piece of legislation that really only benefits the Bush administration and the telephone companies.
Yes, let's talk about FISA. So just say a little bit about what MapLight.org does. Mm-hmm. We're a nonprofit. We work on government transparency around campaign finance and voting. So what we do is look at where legislators get the money to run for office and then how they vote on issues that would affect the groups that give them money. And so this FISA bill provides an example of our work. So, you know, as your listeners probably are aware, the telecom industry was facing multiple lawsuits with potential damages totaling in the billions of dollars.
I'm part of one of those class action suits.
All right.
And
well,
I didn't actually want money from them. I wanted the truth, but money is a way to pry the truth out of people.
Right. So, so as this FISA reauthorization bill is going through Congress, both the House and the Senate, there have been multiple attempts to change the retroactive immunity for the telecom industry to both add it and strip it out. And so what we found is that the people, Democrats and Republicans included, who voted in favor of retroactive immunity tended to get a lot more money on average from the telecom industry than people who took positions unfavorable to the industry.
And we also see a pretty sharp increase in the amount of money coming from the phone companies into political contributions this year, and a shift to giving far more money to Democrats than Republicans.
That's right. And within the Democratic Party, so what we do at MapLight is look at policy issues that move through Congress. And with this FISA issue, this year, there were multiple votes on immunity. So what we were able to do is look at the March 14th House vote that denied immunity and then compare that with the June 20th vote that actually gave immunity to the telecoms. And it turns out about 94 Democrats, including the House leadership, changed their position on this bill. So they changed from being against immunity to a position that was favorable to the telecom industry in favor of immunity. And those 94 Democrats that flipped their vote between March and June got, on average, over $8,000 each from these three telecom PACs, AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon,
mm-hmm.
compared to the less than $5,000 each on average that each Democrat got that remained opposed to immunity.
that's interesting, and I want to read the list here, and then I have a question for you.
Sure.
So Jim Clyburn, number three in the House, $29,000 from those three PACs, if you measure it from January of 2005 through March of 2008. All these numbers are from that time window.
That's right.
Number two in the House, the guy who managed this whole thing, Steny Hoyer, $29,000. Rahm Emanuel, $28,000. Nancy Pelosi, $24,500. Joe Baca, I'm skipping a few people that my listeners might not know. Joe Baca of California, $22,000. Let's see, moving down here. Bart Stupak, he's from Michigan. He was on our show a couple of months ago, and at that time he was opposed to telecom immunity. He got $15,500 and voted in favor. Jim Costa of California got $12,000. Dennis Cardoza, he was on our show to talk about the farm bill. We didn't actually talk to him about FISA. He got $11,000. Ellen Tauscher, East Bay Congresswoman, $9,000. Ike Skelton, Chair of the Armed Services Committee in the House, $8,500. And this was one that really puzzled me, Sean. I know Luis Gutierrez of Illinois, a very progressive Democrat, and he did a turnabout on this, and he got only $7,500 from the phone company. So this is what troubles me. These are relatively small amounts of money that these individual House members got, and they changed their vote. Now, I'm not saying that they were completely bought and paid for, but we do have to consider the possibility.
Absolutely, and MapLight.org agrees with that sentiment that we don't know exactly why legislators vote the way they do. It could be constituent pressure, maybe new information came to light between these two votes, maybe they had a change of heart, or maybe there's a more pernicious influence of money. We can't actually pinpoint down the reasons, but the fact that the people who tended to take industry-friendly positions on this bill got, on average, more money from the industry is something to be suspicious about.
Mm-hmm. And when I looked over at the Senate side, I couldn't find any real clear connections, with the exception of Jay Rockefeller, who is the chair of intelligence, a big proponent of this cave-in from the get-go. And he got a total of $67,000 from AT&T and Verizon this year alone. But you know, it's not the largest category. It's not even one of the top 10 categories of contributions to his political campaigns. So this is where I struggle a little bit, because I'm angry at these people, Sean, and I want to believe that the money influenced them. At the same time, just to be fair and somewhat objective, $67,000 to Jay Rockefeller, who runs unopposed and, you know, regularly raises $10 million per cycle for his campaigns, it's not that much money to persuade him to erode the Constitution and sell out, you know, many members of his political party.
That's right. And so, like I said, we don't know for sure why these people cast votes the way they do, and it may seem like a very small amount of money. Some people are very angry that they see such a small amount of money can change someone's position on an important policy issue like this. So, you know, the traditional way of thinking about money in politics has been that money pours in to try to change or influence someone's vote. But at MapLight.org, we don't necessarily think that. It could be that money goes to industry-friendly legislators, like maybe Rockefeller has always been a proponent of telecom immunity, or has felt that the industry should sort of get its way, and they're just for that view rather than trying to influence it. But what the problem is there's a river of money underlying our current broken campaign finance system, and the people who take positions that reward certain special interest groups get a lot of campaign contributions from them, whether that changed their vote or not. And so those people, like Rockefeller, they're going to have more money to run their reelection campaign than the people who did not take industry-friendly positions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's fair to say, too, people like Pelosi and Steny Hoyer have leadership PACs, and they don't need the money for their own campaigns. They have fairly safe districts. But they benefit by passing it around to other incumbents and to selected challengers, who then owe them one when they come to Congress. That's how the whole system works.
Absolutely. And so money to the DCCC and money to Pelosi and Emanuel and those people in the House leadership could end up influencing people beyond just the legislators that get the money.
And, Sean, have you taken any looks? For example, we know that the Democrats are having a hard time raising the money they need for the convention in Denver, and it's just 8 weeks away, 7 weeks away. Do we have any indication that the phone companies are stepping up to take care of them?
Well, the recent campaign finance data has just been released by the FEC. It gets released in quarterly batches for congressional campaigns. And so MapLight.org is in the midst of an analysis looking at the money that came in between the two votes from the telecom industry. So we can get you an answer when we put that release out.
Okay.
But this underscores the systemic bias in the system, is that these Democrats and these Republicans need to constantly raise money to be competitive in their campaigns. And the money has to come from somewhere, and much of it does not come from people like you and I, but from these interest groups, and these interest groups want something in return.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how the telecom industry ponies up the dough for the Democratic convention. It'll be interesting to look at those numbers.
Yeah, and if we see those big banners for AT&T and Verizon and Sprint in Denver and a lot of big cocktail receptions, we'll be able to identify some of that spending. Dave joins us from Eureka. Welcome, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Sean Tanner from MapLight.org.
Well, hi, Peter B. And, Sean, the question that's going through my head is, what are the chances that significant contributions are made in nice, clean white envelopes for which there is no record and no public accounting, and we don't know how much is really given? How much is that possible?
So I think that that may be a possibility. MapLight.org actually relies on the information that the government provides via the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, and I actually trust that that is fairly accurate information. Certainly there could be corrupt politicians taking money illegally, but what MapLight, the data that MapLight.org presents is actually official record data, so it wouldn't include those sorts of things that you're talking about.
And the law still stands that $199 or less does not require the kind of disclosure that a larger contribution does. Is that right?
That's right. So they have to report that income to their campaigns, but they don't have to report the source of it. So I could give $199 in a white envelope to a senator, and they would not have to report who I was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to take a break and return. If you have a question or comment, we're following the money behind the FISA vote last week in the Senate, 2 weeks before in the House. And if you want to ask about a specific member who voted a certain way and you want to see what kind of money they got, we'll be happy to look it up for you. Call me right now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue with Sean Tanner from MapLight.org in a moment, right here.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, asking the question, why did so many good senators and House members vote for the worst piece of legislation that I've seen in my lifetime, the FISA Amendment? I think they sold out dirt cheap. Sean Tanner's with us, research director at maplight.org. They take the campaign contribution information and they present it online in ways that you can easily search by a specific member, by a specific piece of legislation, even particular votes if you want to get that specific. And Sean, as we look at the big picture here, how unusual is it in an election year for our political leaders to consciously take a controversial issue and ping-pong it back and forth with amendments and delays and posturing, and it's used like what's called a Christmas tree to put as many pretty ornaments on there as possible, paid for by lobbyists and special interests. And, for example, back in 96, when Clinton was running for re-election, it wasn't that bad a fight against Bob Dole, but that Telecommunications Act that led to deregulation of radio and television and had a major impact on the telecoms themselves, that was one of those issues that was used to raise a lot of campaign cash.
That's right. And so I think it's good to think of this as an ongoing systemic problem. If you're angry about this telecom immunity, you're going to be angry again until we change our broken system of campaign finance. So, you know, going back to 1996, maybe the telecom industry gave a lot of money to Clinton and then he changed his mind, or maybe they gave a lot of money back in 92 to support Clinton and that money helped him get elected, and he was already an industry-friendly candidate. And so we'll never know for sure, but what we do know is there's a strong correlation between where you get your money from and how you vote.
And there's there's no indication that the people who are at the trough in both parties right now have much interest in changing that system, would you say?
I would say that's a fairly accurate portrayal. Just from my personal view, that's true. And I think in states where reforms have been implemented, it's usually come from the referendum process.
Mm-hmm. And so what are the strategies in Washington right now with the presidential race? You know, both sides have basically, in one form or another, rejected the public funding system. McCain is going to take it, but the way he operated during the primary, he played fast and loose with the rules and took advantage of the fact that there was not a quorum at the Federal Elections Commission to enforce any wrongdoing that may have occurred. But I do generally agree with Obama's statement that it's broken. As long as 527s and other players can come into a campaign and make it more complicated or more expensive for the other side.
Right. And so, you know, MapLight.org doesn't take a position on one particular reform. We you know, our position is that we support whatever works to change the system. Taking off my MapLight.org hat and just giving you my personal opinion, I also agree that the presidential public financing system is somewhat problematic. It's sort of a mix between public financing, but you still have to raise money from special interest groups. But what certain states have done, like Arizona, Maine, and Connecticut, is institute a full public financing system. And that reduces the need for candidates to take any special interest money at all, and they can run effective campaigns.
Mm-hmm. The other thing about the presidential system that we're seeing right now is that McCain has agreed to accept the public funding for the fall campaign, but that doesn't kick in until after their convention, which is the first week of September. And so in the meantime, he is raising and spending money with fewer limitations, and of course the Republican National Committee can take in much larger amounts.
That's right. And so that's where the influence of special interest groups grows even broader, when they start to give to the DNC and the RNC and all these party leadership PACs. There's any number of outlets for their campaign money to go.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that this aspect, Sean, has gotten much attention in the coverage of the debate over FISA?
Well, I don't think it's gotten enough. I think certainly there are people like you, Peter, and your listeners who care very deeply about this issue and understand that it's also a campaign finance problem. But that's one of the things that sort of MapLight.org began with, is that people care deeply about certain policy issues, whether it's healthcare or the environment or privacy rights and homeland security, but they don't connect those issues to campaign finance. They sort of have a general idea that money influences politics, but no one's sure exactly how. And so what MapLight.org has done is actually create the transparency tools that you can go on our site, look up the issue you care about, and see and quantify exactly how the money matches up with the votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what do you recommend to people who would like to make, you know, small contributions to candidates they support this year? Do you have any general guidelines for the givers?
You know, for the givers, and we're talking about people like you and I, citizens making small campaign contributions, I see nothing wrong with that. And you know, I would encourage them to do it, at least to try to offset the special interest groups. But it's never going to. You know, and even for a candidate who can raise a lot of money from small contributions, it's still a drop in the bucket compared to the amount that the special interest can give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting. I've got too many screens open right here, Sean, but I was looking at some figures earlier. I guess I don't have this one open right now. But it showed that Hillary Clinton, who voted against the FISA amendment bill in the Senate last week, actually took more money into her presidential campaign from telecoms than Barack Obama did.
That's right. And so there is an instance where maybe the money didn't match up with the vote. And you know, MapLight.org acknowledges that happens. And like we said, we don't know exactly what caused Hillary Clinton to vote that way or what caused Barack Obama to vote a certain way.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, Sean, and I appreciate the work you're doing. I want to direct people to maplight.org. It's spelled just the way it sounds, maplight.org. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Coming up next, Cliff Schechter, author of The Real McCain, talks about Senator McCain. Is he actually technically qualified to be president of the United States? He was born in Panama.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A scramble to stabilize the mortgage system.
New rules are adopted to keep those crazy no-doc mortgage loans from ever coming back. I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
General Motors is scaling back.
They have too many engineers, too many designers, too many everything.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration, Congress, and the Federal Reserve have a shared sense of urgency about the mortgage meltdown and its impact across the economy.
Though it's a bit like closing the barn door after the horses have reached the next county, the Fed today imposed new rules on home mortgages. Income has to be checked. Borrowers have to know what they're getting. Lenders have to make sure they're capable of making payments. Democrat Barney Frank heads the House Financial Services Committee.
Ben Bernanke announced the adoption of rules that will make it less likely that we'll have subprime messes in the future.
Also today, Frank and other leaders in Congress moved quickly to give the Fed unprecedented powers to step in and save the mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, hoping to restore confidence so those powers never have to be used. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Fed is offering Fannie and Freddie access to its credit window if necessary, but today there was no shortage of takers when Freddie sold $3 billion in debt. The stock market remains worried that other mortgage lenders will fail, as IndyMac did on Friday. The Dow ended the day with a 45-point loss at 11,055. Outside IndyMac headquarters in Pasadena, this man was among hundreds who came to withdraw what was left of their money.
I woke up to go online this morning to see, you know, a quarter of my life already deducted from the account.
What do you mean? How much is missing?
$55,000.
IndyMac's new CEO is John Bovenzi.
I want to emphasize that customers should know that their insured money is safe.
But FDIC insurance is limited to $100,000 per depositor or $250,000 for an IRA. Now this.
Hi, I'm the owner of several Italian restaurants, and all my employees are so happy because I now make Aflac available to them. With Aflac, my benefits package is like a full course meal, and there is no direct cost to me. That is like music to my ears.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Take chances with your important documents. Trust the Design Print and Ship Depot at Office Depot, the only place you'll find Xerox certified print specialists. Get your copies made by the experts at Office Depot. Plus, now get 25% off all finishing services, including binding, laminating, and more. At Office Depot, we get it done right and on time. Office Depot, taking care of business. Available in store only. Offers not combinable with any other offer. Expires July 26th.
Big changes are coming at General Motors. Tomorrow morning, Chief Executive Rick Wagoner will make what's described as a major, major announcement.
We understand it'll talk about people. He'll be talking about manufacturing. He'll be talking about products.
Business analyst Murray Feldman of Detroit station WWJ. Keith Crane, who publishes Automotive News, says GM might be ready to dump Hummer and eliminate some of its other brands, and he thinks layoffs are inevitable.
Given their size, given their current market share, they simply have too many production facilities. They have too many people inside the company creating and designing and engineering vehicles.
President Bush today renewed his push for expanded offshore drilling. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
To hear the president tell it authorizing new drilling in the outer continental shelf is a no-brainer.
Experts believe that these restricted areas of the OCS could eventually produce nearly 10 years' worth of America's current annual oil production.
But no new drilling can take place unless Congress lifts the statutory ban. President Bush says that means the only thing standing between the American people and vast oil resources is action by Congress. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Today's announcement by the president will change nothing.
Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey, who chairs a House energy panel, says lifting the ban won't lower gasoline prices. If President Bush continues to resist tapping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, Markey says he'll introduce legislation to require withdrawals of 500,000 barrels a day. A long-awaited report from the Environmental Protection Agency says global warming is unequivocal and greenhouse gas emissions pose a danger to human health. It's a response to a Supreme Court ruling last year that said greenhouse gases can be regulated under the Clean Air Act. The EPA finding says health risks include more heat waves, floods, droughts, insect outbreaks, and wildfires. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, what else would you call a place that can save you hundreds when you switch? And even more if you're a good driver. You see, at Progressive, you're rewarded for slowing down at yellow lights, using your directional, and yes, yielding at yield signs. Sounds utopian. Did I mention this music is played by actual angels with harps? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield, Fields, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at Effector help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help you get your life back in order. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics. Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-536-9092. That's 800-536-9092. 800-536-9092.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered. Except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
In Peter B.'s America, we would follow the Constitution literally. And only natural-born citizens could become presidents. Sorry, Arnold. Oh, and Johnny McCain? Sorry for you too, bud.
Guys dressed in black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, M.I.B. means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't be what was dead is now gone. Black suits with the black wig bands on. Walk in shadow, move in silence. Guard against extraterrestrial violence.
Later this hour, we're going to talk with Richard Charter from the Defenders of Wildlife Action Fund and ask him the question, which is a dumber idea? Bush lifting the executive order banning offshore drilling? Or Pelosi calling for tapping into the strategic reserves? But first, Cliff Schechter returns to the program. In fact, we have decided this is the dedicated weekly spot to talk to Cliff Schechter about John McCain. And it's firm, absolutely firm, until something gets in the way and we have to move it. How are you, Cliff?
I'm doing well. How you doing, man?
Good to talk to you. The Real McCain, of course, is out and available for under $15 at your favorite bookstore. Subtitle, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. And you can read Cliff's up-to-the-minute raves and rants at Cliff Schechter's campaign silo. The link is on the homepage there at firedoglake.com. And Cliff, so much to cover. I'm sure we won't get to it all, but I'm fascinated by this story that will probably go absolutely nowhere. But Friday's New York Times devoted 10 or 15 inches of news column to this, and it focuses on whether or not John McCain, who was born in the Panama Canal Zone where his daddy was on duty as an admiral, and it just barely skirts the law because he is not in a position to be described as a natural-born citizen, which is what the Constitution requires.
Yeah, I find it really interesting. I was on a radio show here in Columbus the other day, a progressive radio here, and one of the right-wingers called it and started saying, "You have proof of Obama's birth certificate?" You know, all that usual anti-Obama garbage coming from the right. I was like, you know, you might want to check up on your pal McCain there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, born in the Panama Canal Zone, we're not, I mean, you know, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but it seems to me, from looking through at least what the New York Times is saying, I've read a number of other articles on the subject, there actually are some reasonable questions there.
Yeah, he was born in 1936, and in 1937, there was a law that conferred citizenship on children of Americans born in the Canal Zone after 1904, but that is not the same as being a natural-born citizen. He is a legalized citizen.
That's exactly right. But, you know, I mean, we know, obviously, that nothing's ever going to be done about this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, we're in America right now where on issues such as wiretaps and torture, we seem to not pay any respect to the Constitution, so why would we on this? But
if you don't speak more clearly and loudly so the NSA can hear you, we're going to have to torture you.
Oh, my God. Okay. I will. But here's the thing. You know, you may remember back in 2000, there's also a constitutional, the Constitution states that you can't have the president and the vice president from the same state. You may remember Dick Cheney was residing in Texas,
mm-hmm.
hadn't voted in Wyoming, I don't think, in years,
right.
And really, for all intents and purposes, was a Texan, as was George W. Bush.
Well, there's some doubt about that. He may have been a Bahamian, because that's where Halliburton, rechartered.
That's a good point, too. First, I thought you said Bohemian. I was like, excuse me?
No, Bahamian.
I don't picture Dick Cheney with the beer bong. Although he'd be a lot better off. It was quite obvious. And then he went and he re-registered to vote in Wyoming. And no one asked any questions after that. And the truth of the matter is if we really, I think, had been following strict intent of the Constitution, he wouldn't have been able to pick Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't. And in the end, we let Tom DeLay get away with mid-decade redistricting, and we let all sorts of things that go against either custom law or constitution happen in politics. So, you know, do I see anything happening in this? No. It has to be, you have to have an accent as obnoxious as Arnold Schwarzenegger's, as you said,
mm-hmm.
So that people really know that you're a foreigner.
Well, I just think occasionally they should ask him for his green card. And just see what he does.
I think occasionally they might want to do that and let him know that he could be declared an enemy combatant.
Mm-hmm. So, Cliff, last week was, to be fair, Steve Schmidt's first full week in charge of the McCain campaign.
And it was a hell of a week.
It was. And for people who may have missed one or two of the items, find MSNBC's Countdown show. Rachel Maddow sat in again on Friday. And she ticked off, I think, 10 different incredible boners committed by McCain and or his campaign last week. We don't have time to recap all of them. But one I wanted to mention because it validates your reporting in The Real McCain is the L.A. Times stories about John McCain and the fact that, and this kind of gets into these little legal, gray areas again, but he took out his license to marry Cindy McCain before his divorce from wife number one was final.
That's exactly right. And it does. Thank you for pointing that out. That was a story that, you know, well, obviously we've had our share of stories from The Real McCain that have gotten a lot of attention, so I'm not complaining. But I did go into the whole dirty history of him and his first wife, which is almost never discussed, and even with the LA Times story, hasn't been picked up really by a number of other newspapers, as you would expect, when we couldn't stop hearing about what went on with Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky for ages, and that, and yet what John McCain did to his first wife, particularly in the fact that it harmed his relationship with the Reagans, who were very close with her.
Well, that was the real juicy part, the soap opera part of the L.A. Times story, was their recounting of Nancy Reagan's incredibly tepid endorsement of McCain this past March.
Yeah, I mean, she sort of said, well, he's our nominee, so I guess I'll endorse him.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, you know, what I find interesting, and maybe this will tell you something about McCain's psyche, but as we know, and I reported a lot on McCain's temper, other people have too, that he's such a vindictive, temperamental guy that not very many people like him to begin with. But it seems all of his heroes don't like him. Which I find very interesting. When he cites his Republican heroes, I guess we can't check with Teddy Roosevelt, but we do know that Goldwater didn't like him. Members of Goldwater's family have come out and said as much, and even McCain admitted in his own book that he wished that Goldwater had shown more affection for him. Goldwater saw McCain as what he is, an authoritarian sellout. Who didn't really stand for the libertarian type Republican principles that he claimed to stand for, and then of course the Reagans too, who he always cites Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan obviously wasn't very happy with him either. So I just find it kind of fascinating that he's fixated on these two Republican icons, neither of whom really, by the time they got to know him, had the time of day for him.
Now, to compensate for his own weaknesses in the family values category, Cliff Schechter, today we have word that he has spoken out against adoption by same-sex couples. He said, I think that we've proven that both parents are important in the success of a family, so no, I don't believe in gay adoption.
Well, I think that there's a little corollary, and it's this. If you were in Hanoi and your wife took care of the kids for 4 years after she had a debilitating car accident, an accident that took some inches off of her height and put weight on her, but she was devoted to you and a member of POW family groups and others waiting for you to come home, well, at that point, if you came home and you said to somebody, which of course was reported in the LA Times, that she wasn't the woman you married, so you leave her for a younger, richer, prettier woman, then that's okay. It's only not we want to make sure there's a man and a woman when there are kids involved. We want to make sure they're, because of course we can't have these same sex couples. We want to have a man and a woman, and not a man or a woman alone either. That would be horrible. But it's okay in all the cases I stated just now. So John McCain, of course, didn't do anything at all, not above board, in leaving his wife high and dry like that for Cindy.
Well, and this is just another example of some red meat for the Christian right as he continues to pander and try to make up for lost time and lost ground.
It's really gotten kind of pathetic. I mean, with the offshore drilling now, too, he's become not just a proponent of it, but one of the leading proponents of it, calling for it. And, of course, he was against that in 2000. I've had thoughts, and maybe I'll break this on your show, Peter. I've had thoughts of writing another chapter to my book and posting it online. And I may indeed do that, because mm-hmm. it's amazing that in I finished the book in the beginning of March, and the sheer number of things he's lied about, flip-flopped on, from being for Social Security privatization, which he won't admit now, to opposing 75 U.S. senators and virtually everybody who served in the military who supported the GI Bill, and then claiming later that he did support it, to this, to these cases we're talking about right now, from offshore drilling to mm-hmm. same-sex couples. I mean, this guy could ever have been considered a straight talker, and anybody could have ever accepted that he was a straight talker or a maverick or any of these catchphrases just tells you what disrepair our national media is in, because it's such a joke. It's so at odds with who he really is.
Yeah. And Cliff, can we blame him for the turnabout here? Budweiser refused to be acquired by the Belgian company, and now they said, oh, $52 billion? Well, of course. And will Cindy get a seat on the new board?
I bet she will. We've learned that from the 118 lobbyists that surround McCain to Charlie Keating's involvement with him and Vicky Iceman and all the people that have got the land swapped out in Arizona, money talks with McCain.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. He may try to claim otherwise, but it does. So, sure, $52 billion, why not?
Okay, and just one more quickie before the break. Any move to pay the taxes due in San Diego?
Nothing that I've heard. I mean, but you do have to feel bad for them. I mean, there are homes foreclosing throughout the United States, and sometimes you just can't afford that ninth home.
Cliff Schechter, author of The Real McCain, blogs at FireDogLake.com. We'll continue in a moment. You got a comment or a question about John McCain? Bring it on now, dude or dudas. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, or email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540. What you know when I've come to work.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start things off near San Juan Bautista, Mission Vineyard Road at Salinas Road. It's an accident where a solo vehicle went off the roadway. CHP is on the scene there. Gonzales, South 101 before 5th Street, an accident. Pickup truck with a trailer apparently hit the center divide. No injuries, and CHP is on the scene. Finally, Hollister, Fairview Road at Maranatha Drive. We have a large piece of fencing that somehow made its way into the middle of the roadway. 17 itself going through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checks in Stalin, accident-free. Highway 68, we have no stalls, no accidents to tell you about right now, and this report is brought to you by Office Depot. Hurry into Office Depot, where you can get all the top brands of ink and toner at low prices to keep your printing for less. Office Depot, taking care of business. If you spot a traffic problem, definitely call us, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
When they ask us to leave, we'll think about it.
I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more. Sick and tired of the dirty little war. I can't take it no more.
Scream along.
You lied about the KGB.
Oh, yeah.
You know you lied about the WFD. You
continue with Cliff Schechter, author of The Real McCain, blogs at FireDogLake.com. And McCain's got a problem on his hands. There's videotape of him saying, if the Iraqis ask us to leave, well, we'll have no choice. We'll have to leave. And when Maliki did that, not once, not twice, but three times last week, and made sure that there was no problem with the translation, well, McCain was just kind of left jaw agape, would you say, Cliff?
Yeah, I would say so. It is rather humorous, John McCain being one of the people caught in the hypocrisy on this. Another one I wrote about the other day is the good Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, who mm-hmm. made similar statements,
yeah.
Again, proving that nothing that these guys say ever actually holds up to the truth or reality. They'll just say whatever's convenient at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, it was convenient because they figured that the Iraqis would never come out and say get out. And, of course, Iraqis have come out and said get out. But somebody else, I'm trying to remember who I was reading in a piece, pointed out something else important, which is, you know, McCain just said he wouldn't buy it initially because they were just doing it for political reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are doing it for political reasons, and Iraqi politicians feel the need to bash the U.S. in a manner of speaking and say, we need the U.S. to get out to win, what does that tell you about conditions on the ground and how much the Iraqi people want us there?
Mm-hmm.
So do we just stay there, you know, and force ourselves upon them?
Yeah.
When obviously it plays well to people there for a politician to say, let's get the U.S. the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Johnny Pandemore had another one. This was on TV the other night. He went to Pittsburgh and retold a story and changed the Green Bay Packers to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has, in his book, he told how when he was being tortured, he had to cough up some names. So he gave up the names of apparently the Green Bay Packers defense. And when he went to Pittsburgh, he retold the story for a local effect and didn't think that anybody'd catch him on that.
Right, suddenly it was the pit. I mean, see, that's what is amazing, and thank God this stuff's coming out, Peter, because this is what I've been trying to get across in my book, and we've got a big relaunch scheduled, by the way. Doing a lot of media. I mean, I'm still doing plenty of media, like your wonderful show, but we'll be doing a huge amount of things in September because people just need to know who this guy is. And,
yeah.
And if that doesn't show it, he didn't forget that. He blatantly just lied.
Yeah.
And that's what this guy does, and no one wants to use the L word because we're not supposed to do that in politics. But there's nothing that this guy won't change. There's no comment he's made or no position he's taken. There's
mm-hmm.
simply nothing.
Cliff Schechter with us here, and we're joined by Brad Friedman, and the Bradmobile is in Eureka today. Hello, Brad.
Yeah, hey, guys. Glad to get out of Michael Savage hell and finally hear some friendly voices on the radio.
Well, it's good to be good to have you within the sound of my voice, Bradness.
Yeah, it's good to hear you both. Hey, Cliff, how are you, my friend?
All right, man. How are you doing? Good to talk to you.
I'm doing well, and I've been enjoying some time off, but I was glad to hear you and had a quick question for you because John Ponder's been covering for me at Brad Blog, and he's been covering this issue of Troy King, the Alabama AG, who is homophobic and apparently caught in bed with a man by his wife or something, and
yeah.
Wondered if you had heard this story and if... Because apparently Ponder is reporting that references to Troy King have been pulled from McCain's website. Have you seen that story?
I have heard the story just because, you know, I hate to – I hope Peter will not get angry at me, but I do a segment called Republican Sexcapades on the Young Turks. Don't mean to be promoting other radio shows.
Oh, it's okay. Here. Come on, Cliff. We don't give a –
Okay, they're good. It's non-competing. Thursday, we're doing it at 10 o'clock these days, or 10:30 off the check, because they've just moved to XM. But, yes, and so I look into these stories every week because, again, the thing that always, just like with John McCain, it's the hypocrisy that really drives me to point out where it is. And this is just another one of those cases along the lines of Larry Craig and Ted Haggard and Mark Foley and Larry Craig. I said Larry Craig already, right? David Vitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, the list goes on and on. So
well,
shocked.
And Brad, John Ponder dug in, and this brings back a story from last August when there was a murder-suicide of a Republican political consultant. Ralph Gonzalez, president of the Stratagem Group, was found dead along with his roommate, and we really didn't understand it at the time, but it seems that they have ties to this guy Troy King.
Yeah, the old
they also
campaign
had ties
manager
to Patrick
for Tom,
I remember correctly.
Go ahead, Brad.
Sorry,
I was saying, yeah, he was the old campaign manager for my good friend Tom Feeney down there in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff, have you heard of anybody in the media asking McCain about this and scrubbing the website? Because
no,
God knows it'd be all over if it was Obama.
You know, it's like what also down in Florida, a fun place, when Bob Allen, you may remember the guy caught in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
In Florida, the state rep. He was one of McCain's co-chairs down in Florida. And he was caught in the bathroom. And, of course, better than the fact that he was caught there soliciting sex from undercover officers, male officers in the men's bathroom in a public place were the excuses afterwards that he was intimidated because one of the officers was African-American, so he felt he had to ask for sex. And it was raining outside. It was everything from the black guy made me do it till the weather was bad. And
two of my favorite bloggers, Brad Friedman, bradblog.com, Cliff Schechter, firedoglake.com. Thank you, gents.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Flailing for the ripcord. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The financial meltdown of 08 is now the biggest in 22 years. Bigger than the savings and loan collapse of 86. Bigger than Japan's banking crisis in the 90s. Bigger than the Asian banking crisis in 98. And suddenly, everybody has the same question. How do I hang on to my nest egg? Do I buy gold? Do I hoard oil? Do I stock up on canned tomatoes? You'd figure a bank would be safe. It's insured, right? But look at what's happening to the depositors at the Indy Mac Bank, which failed last week. Under $100K or $250K for retirement accounts, you can get your money immediately. But whatever's left above that, you can get only half immediately unless you are clever enough to open a variety of individual accounts, joint accounts, trust accounts, etc. And anything else you bought through the bank, like stocks, bonds, life insurance policies, totally uninsured. Of course, there's always the most secure investment of all, buy a treasury bond, a piece of the national debt, guaranteed by the U.S. government. Except now, the U.S. government is set to back the debts of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. That's as much as $7 trillion on top of the $4.6 trillion the government already owes to investors. And because of all this real and potential federal debt, one of the hottest-selling derivatives is one that carries an interesting payoff. It pays off if a U.S. Treasury bond defaults, and its price is going up, which means that more people are actually betting money on the prospect that the United States itself might become insolvent. You know, cash under the mattress, it's lumpy, but I bet you sleep better. Now this.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else, it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
KRXA invites you to hear Richard Hayes Phillips, election theft investigator and author of Witness to a Crime, A Citizen's Audit of an American Election. Learn how the 2004 presidential election in Ohio was rigged and how you can take action to avoid a repeat. Friday, July 18th at 7:30 p.m. at the Santa Cruz Vets Hall, 846 Front Street. Go to witness2acrime.com or call 831-429-8946. That's 429-8946.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And before we resume our regular programming, can I acknowledge that I am sitting on two autographed books that were autographed to listeners of the Peter B. Collins Show. One's name is Andy and the other is Angelina. And Vincent Bugliosi was here about a month ago and he autographed books and dedicated them to Andy and Angelina. And Andy and Angelina, if you're out there, we need you to check in with the program because we have lost your mailing addresses. I have. I can't send you the book without it. So if you're Andy or Angelina, it's the honor system here, and you want a copy of Vincent Bugliosi's book about the prosecution of George W. Bush for Moiter, then give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B, and we'll try to connect you with the book that you so richly deserve.
Well, the good old boys, they met behind us, giving up for a Middle East war, with a map of Iraq on the wall, finding ways to profit from it all. Papa stumbled along the way, now there's Junior to save the day. They think they know what's best for us, when all they wanted was more surplus. But we don't need the lies no more, and we sure don't need that oil war.
That's a little ditty composed by a listener, and I can't remember who that was either, but I recall someone from Monterey or Seaside sent that in about a year ago. It's called Oil War, and we're going to talk about oil and the prospect of drilling offshore, just way out there on the outer continental shelf where nothing bad will happen and nobody ever goes, and you know how it is. Richard Charter joins us this half hour. He's got an interesting background. He's now with Defenders of Wildlife, their action fund, but for almost 30 years, he's been working to ensure continued protection for sensitive coastlines threatened by offshore oil and gas drilling. He coordinated the local government support that led to the creation of the Gulf of the Farallones, Cordell Bank, Channel Islands, Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuaries. He currently works on ocean protection issues for Defenders of Wildlife, including offshore oil and gas, ocean mining, the creation of marine protected areas to restore damaged fisheries and coastal ecosystems. And he serves as chair of the Gulf of the Farallones National Marine Sanctuary Advisory Council and other things too numerous to mention. Richard Charter, thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, there are some important issues here, and I wanted to offer some sort of strange political balance because I thought I would ask you first to comment on the change of heart by John McCain about offshore drilling. Just today, the president lifted the executive order which had banned offshore drilling, and I want you to explain that a little bit. And I also want to counter that with the recent move by Speaker Pelosi calling for tapping into our strategic oil reserves. Just clue you in that I don't support that, and I don't support the offshore drilling ban lift either. So let's start with the Republicans, who see a campaign issue in the high cost of gasoline at the pump. And as John McCain, he just said, he just wants to give us a psychological boost by strengthening the oil company's hand and offering them more tracts to drill, even though they have not even explored and started to extract in many of the offshore leases they already have been granted.
Well, we have a frustrated group of Republican members of Congress, both in the House and the Senate, who really can't brag about the way the war's going, and they can't brag about how well the economy's going, and they know that there's been an oil influence in the White House for the last few years. So they can't brag about how they've kept the price of gasoline affordable. And so lacking any of those campaign platforms, not to be partisan about it, but they've decided to beat up the Democrats, beat them continually over the head with the idea that offshore drilling is somehow going to irrationally lower prices at the gas pump. And boy, is the American public ever going to be upset when they find out that they have not only lost their wallet, by leaving it at the gas station, they've lost their favorite coastline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's going on. This is a final push by the Bush administration on their way out of town to deliver on something that we believe Enron and company asked Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force. Remember that when Bush first came in?
Yeah.
There was a wish list meeting held with the oil industry, and this has been the one deliverable that the White House has not been able to hand over. And so today they handed over a big part of that.
Mm-hmm. And let's get specific here, because there is the legislative ban on offshore drilling. And where does the executive order fit in the scheme of controls over our offshore geography?
Well, beyond 3 miles from shore, the state of California controls from the shoreline to 3 miles out. And the state of California has its own state legislature imposed moratorium on new offshore drilling. There's some state waters leasing in the Santa Barbara area,
mm-hmm.
down around Long Beach, but nothing new since the 1980s, and nothing new can happen in the 3 miles from shore. But out in federal waters, beyond 3 miles from shore, during the early 1980s, we had a Secretary of Interior for Ronald Reagan, and that gentleman's name was James Watt. And James Watt was going to drill everywhere. I mean, he was going to drill off of San Francisco. He was going to drill off of Santa Cruz and Moran and Sonoma and Mendocino and just about every place. And so Congress, in the early 1980s, about 1982, imposed the first congressional or legislative moratorium, which simply kept the Interior Department from spending money on holding offshore oil and gas lease sales in certain geographic areas. Now, along about 1991, President George Herbert Walker Bush, this president's father, decided that this sounded like a good idea, but he wanted the National Research Council of the National Academy of Sciences, nonpartisan scientists, to study the issue. And they came back to George Herbert Walker Bush and said, gee, there's not enough scientific data to drill in these protected areas and ensure the environment will be protected. So George Bush Sr. became the, quote, environmental president, unquote, when he issued the offshore executive deferrals, as they're called, similar to the moratorium, but done by the White House, which his son removed single-handedly today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been two layers of protection. Now there's one. And what this does is it puts the burden of proof, really, on the Congress to continue the 28 years of congressional moratorium. Otherwise, frankly, the California coast is history as we know it.
And what is the status, Richard Charter, of leases in the Gulf of Mexico? Because we do have many active platforms there, and from what I understand, there are many other leases that could be developed, but the oil companies haven't done it, perhaps for business reasons, and we also understand that there is a shortage of the drilling rigs required to tap into those leases.
Well, one of the little noticed things that I mentioned, James Watt, when he was Secretary of Interior back in the 80s, he removed from the offshore leasing equation in federal waters a provision called due diligence. This is similar to a mining claim where you have to spend money, prove up the mining claim, or even back to the Homestead Act where you had to build a house on the property for homesteading. Watt removed the idea that oil companies had to produce from leases they gathered. And so since that time, many companies have been speculating in oil futures by acquiring offshore leases and then not developing them. And there's about 40 million acres of those offshore and roughly another 40 million acres onshore, federal land transferred to the oil industry that has not been developed. Most of it's not been fully explored, and it's just basically sitting there. And so one of the things that's gaining some credence here in the Congress is the idea that those ought to be produced first because they're ready to go, and the companies already have them, and in many cases there's been environmental studies done, and you could bring that online much faster than the 10 to 15 years it would take to bring new leases online from the offshore.
So if we put this in context with that in mind, what Bush and Cheney are trying to do is put more options in front of the oil companies so they could pick and choose from the lease tracts that have the most potential and the lowest cost of actually accessing the oil or natural gas.
Well, it's more than the lowest cost. It's actually, there is a policy that actually started in the Clinton administration called royalty forgiveness. And there's currently some untold, it depends on who you listen to, at least $14 billion, maybe as much as $56 billion, that's with a B, dollars missing from the federal treasury as a result of leases primarily in the Gulf of Mexico, primarily in deep water, where companies have not had to pay the federal treasury for oil and gas that they have produced. And Congress last year took a shot at trying to recover about $3 billion of that missing money, was unsuccessful, but actually there's new royalty forgiveness now being granted in Alaska, not in particularly deep water, for offshore Alaska, free oil and gas to the oil companies from the federal government. And that's one of the reasons why the oil companies want to get this done now before George Bush goes back to Texas, is friends take care of friends. And this is all about this president taking care of the people that put him in the White House, that he has served diligently throughout his term of office. And it's, and he's basically got a limited period of time to do it. He has to get this done before he leaves town.
Well, Richard, let me ask you to restate and just clarify, because what I think I heard was that you perceive the current calls for lifting the offshore ban and assigning more leases in the Outer Continental Shelf to oil companies as simply a vehicle for royalty forgiveness? Is that what the near-term benefit would be?
That is one near-term benefit. I think when the Congress finally gets around to dealing with royalty forgiveness, which is, again, free oil and gas given away to the oil industry because they're so poverty-stricken, you know, with their record high profits, that is likely to end, particularly if we go into a new kind of administration where, you know, companies of any kind have to pay the federal treasury for federal resources. So there's this effort to transfer large tracts of federal land, not just offshore, but onshore in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska, mm-hmm. to the oil companies now, so they'll have it. And this is really what it's about. It's a land grab by certain corporate interests. Nothing wrong with making profits, but we all know what their profits look like, and they're exorbitant. One of the reasons that these record-high industry profits exist at places like Exxon and Chevron is because they're getting the oil and gas in certain locations free. And look what they're charging us at the pump. So this is robbery combined with essentially a hijacking of the federal government. And they have to get it done now because they don't know who's going to be president come, you know, next January.
Mm-hmm. Richard, I know you're a science guy, and so if this is beyond your expertise, just say so. But it's beyond my expertise. That's why I'm going to ask you. Last year, we had a ballot measure here in California that failed that would have put a wellhead tax on oil produced in California.
That's right.
And in the process, I learned something that startled me, that 42% of the gasoline sold in California comes from oil extracted from California. Now, a lot of that oil was discovered a long time ago and has been sitting in those wells, and the companies haven't really been actively pumping it because of the cost. These are older wells, and the cost of getting the last half of the oil out is greater than the first half. I think most people understand that. But I am struck that with the spot market price world level at roughly $135, $140 a barrel. Are the oil companies that own this old oil in old California wells pumping that out and charging us market rate for that? Or do we get a break for the fact that it's not crisis oil that's coming from the Middle East and it's not really priced based on the weak dollar?
Well, there's no easy answer to that question, but it is true that companies that have been preparing to shut in or stop producing from what are called stripper wells, and a lot of these down in Kern County are wells that are, you know, of marginal production levels and expensive to operate, so they haven't been economically producible. Whoa, all of a sudden they're becoming economically producible. So, yes, this will extend the economic life of certain oil fields. Now, you mentioned the wellhead tax last year in California. Even a progressive bastion like the California State Legislature is subject to the word no. And when that word no is said by the oil industry in California, they can kill something like that, and they did, and they often do similar things. Here in Congress, they still have, obviously, huge subsidies in place for the oil and gas industry, in addition to royalty forgiveness, other kinds of subsidies. And everybody say, well, why are, what happened to the concern about global climate warming, and why are we not seeing the kind of effort and energy and incentives put toward a transition to renewables and more efficient, you know, buildings and automobiles? Well, the people who are, you know, now saying we have to drill off of Mendocino or, you know, Sonoma Coast are the same people in Washington, D.C. who have fought reasonable corporate automobile fuel efficiency standards for cars and light trucks, CAFE standards for a decade or more, have fought green buildings and the kind of tax breaks and incentives that would have furthered a renewable energy transition. And now all of a sudden, I hearken back to the words of David Brower, who started Friends of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, David Brower said, "We are not yet so desperate we must burn our cathedrals for firewood." And today, in 2008, apparently the oil industry has decided we are that desperate.
We're going to continue in a moment. Richard Charter with us from Defenders of Wildlife Action Fund. You got a question or comment about offshore drilling or about Pelosi's plan to tap into the strategic reserves? We'll talk about that next. Lines are open for you right now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA and a brand new accident for Monterey County eastbound Highway 68 at Laguna Seca. It's an injury crash with a couple of cars. They're on the right-hand shoulder. CHP and paramedics are on the way. For Gonzales, South 101 before 5th Street, a crash with a pickup truck hit the center divide. CHP on the scene. Taking a while to get a tow truck down to that. Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountain, stalling accident-free in both directions with the usual slow traffic once you approach the fish hook in Santa Cruz. And some better news, Southern Monterey County, Big Sur area, Highway 1 has reopened. It looks like they're getting a handle on that ongoing basin complex fire down there. And this is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect. Only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you see a traffic problem out there, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I am Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Look no further. Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink. Homemade fraps, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Try the new pina colada. Black Forest Espresso is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We have it all. Soups, sandwiches. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center next to Save Mart at Forest and David, Pacific Grove. Or check out blackforestespresso.com.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Richard Charter. Richard Charter with Defenders of Wildlife Action Fund here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you have a comment or a question. Particularly folks around Monterey Bay, love to hear from you at 888-5 Peter B. And Richard, I note that you were part of the team that helped create the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuaries. Can we, if Congress and the California legislature lifted their respective offshore drilling bans or moratoria, would the sanctuary aspect prevent drilling there?
Well, we hope so. Each of the sanctuaries has what is called a designation document and then sanctuary regulations. And in the case of the three sanctuaries in the San Francisco Bay Area, that would be Monterey Bay Sanctuary, Gulf of the Farallones, and Cordell Bank, all three of those have in their designation document and in their regulations permanent offshore drilling bans. One thing that concerned us about the announcement today by President Bush was he specifically addressed the National Marine Sanctuaries and said that he was continuing the presidential deferrals for National Marine Sanctuaries around the country for an indeterminate period of time. He did not say permanently. And that tends to imply that, for example, if John McCain got elected or we had another, you know, oil-affiliated presidency, that we could see an attack even on the sanctuary waters, because we know there are areas of interest to the oil and gas industry, for example, along the San Mateo-Santa Cruz coast within the Monterey Bay Sanctuary. So the short answer is watch out for Big Sur and the Santa Cruz-San Mateo coast and the Marin coast if this starts to come unraveled here.
Reagan used to say he liked the twinkling lights of the platforms off Santa Barbara. I'm a sailor, Richard, and I've been out there to the Channel Islands, and I hate those. I hate those platforms.
Well, the irony is that if all we had to worry about was the view of the platforms, I don't know that people would have such concerns. But from the moment they start exploring with these seismic air guns and thousands of, you know, high-intensity blasts into the seabed, that damages, we know for a fact, the hearing capacity of fish, which may not matter to anyone else, but it matters to the fish because they use their auditory abilities to locate mates, avoid predators, and find food, i.e. survive, all the way to the constant discharge, routine, day-to-day discharge of benzene, toluene, heavy metals like mercury and arsenic and cadmium from the rigs every day into the ocean. This marine ecosystem that people value so much off of the coast of San Francisco and north and south of the Bay Area is extremely vulnerable to the low-level pollution, even if we never have a major spill.
Richard, I want to jump in because our time is running, and I did want to get your comment on Speaker Pelosi's call to tap into the strategic oil reserves as a way of trying to reduce the price short-term. And given that we have continued to load oil into the reserves, even as the prices have gone up, this just strikes me as a non-starter on almost every front.
Well, I think what we're seeing is an effort to try to moderate in some way what everybody agrees is a strong consensus that this is an artificial price spike that has resulted from speculators switching from trading in gold to switching to trading in oil, and also artificial factors. This is not a supply and demand price spike that we're seeing at the gas pump. So the idea is that if you could feed just enough into the system to sort of break that escalating spiral upward, it might change the dynamics. Now, a lot of people think that an emergency is an emergency and the Strategic Petroleum Reserve should be reserved for an emergency. So there's kind of a tug-of-war, if you will, going on in Congress right now. But the general consensus, I think, is that it would break the price spiral upward just to have some elasticity in the market that would obviously take place right away, not 10 years from now by drilling off of Mendocino.
Well, I appreciate that perspective. From my point of view, ending the war in Iraq and stabilizing the dollar would do a lot more to bring oil prices down. And besides, we ought to save that strategic reserve because these boneheads are planning to attack Iran, and that's when we'll really need a backup supply of oil.
Well, Richard, I agree with that.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed talking with you, and we're going to keep you in our Rolodex. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Defenders of Wildlife Action Fund, that's Richard Charter, and I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Something's got to give at General Motors. Tomorrow morning, Chief Executive Rick Wagoner will make what's described as a major, major announcement. He's expected to outline a restructuring plan in response to a rapidly changing market. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason.
In the latest sales numbers, you saw just a stunning decline, particularly in trucks and SUVs. GM's truck sales were down so far this year 20%. We're looking at a just devastating and sudden drop in automobile sales that has Detroit reeling.
Wagoner was counting on strong truck sales to help turn the company around. The Wall Street Journal says he's likely to announce additional plant closures and the elimination of a few thousand white-collar jobs. The Federal Reserve is imposing new rules to reduce risks in mortgage lending. No doc loans are a thing of the past. From now on, borrowers will have to document their income and they'll have to show they have enough money to set aside to pay for taxes and insurance. New support from the Fed and the Treasury Department helped restore confidence in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac today, but there's still concern that more mortgage lenders might go the way of Indy Mac. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker has today's story.
Hundreds of anxious depositors lined up outside the Pasadena headquarters of Indy Mac Bank today, clamoring to get their money out, even though the bank is now in hands of the federal government.
Well, I have a CD here, and I want to withdraw it.
The new bank chief says his biggest job? Calming depositors' jitters.
98% of the people who do business with a bank have less than $100,000 in their accounts. They don't have to worry about anything.
Financial strategist Richard Beauvais says we need to take a collective deep breath.
Most of the big banks in this country were not in the danger zone in any way, shape, or form.
That's small comfort to IndyMac customers who won't get all their money back. 10,000 of them had accounts that exceeded the $100,000 covered by FDIC insurance. President Bush has put more pressure on Congress to expand offshore drilling. He's lifted an executive ban imposed by his father in 1990.
With this action, the executive branch's restrictions on this exploration have been cleared away.
This means that the only thing standing between the American people and these vast oil resources is action from the U.S. Congress.
I'm Dan Revive. Democrats are clearly unwilling to do that. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says there are tens of millions of acres onshore unexplored.
We want oil and gas companies to drill for oil on the leases they've been given.
A statement from the Obama campaign says if offshore drilling would provide short-term relief, it might be a good idea, but it wouldn't. Republican John McCain responds,
I hope that, as he has on several other issues, Senator Obama will change his position and now support.
Dan Revive, CBS News.
The price of crude oil is stable at $145 a barrel. The Dow lost 45 points today. This is CBS News.
Now you can share your color inspiration at colorofinspiration.com, the new online community from Sherwin-Williams, where you can post photos, chat about what inspires you, maybe even inspire someone else. Once you've found your colorful inspiration, save $7 a gallon on a wide variety of our exceptional paints and stains for incredible inspiration and great savings. For a store near you, visit sherwinwilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Leaving the scene of an accident. It happens on the road sometimes, but in Altamont Springs, Florida, it was a case of leaving the scene of a crane accident. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
Tree trimmers were clearing trunks away when the crane suddenly tipped over and landed right on top of the house. Carol Miller was inside.
I got hit with some of the ceiling tiles, but the ceiling caved in.
But she was stunned when the crane operator and his co-workers ran away.
They did not check to see if anybody was hurt. They just left.
The crane operator says he was just scared.
Everybody told me, let's go, let's go, let's go.
The workers came back a few minutes later. Nobody was hurt, but ironically, the home they were trying to protect from hurricanes has been declared uninhabitable and was condemned. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Senator Arlen Specter has had his last chemotherapy treatment for a recurrence of Hodgkin's disease. The Pennsylvania Republican said he planned to celebrate with a martini and dinner with friends. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, I'm the owner of several Italian restaurants, and all my employees are so happy because I now make Aflac available to them. With Aflac, my benefits package is like a full course meal, and there is no direct cost to me. That is like music to my ears.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Take chances with your important documents. Trust the Design Print and Ship Depot at Office Depot, the only place you'll find Xerox certified print specialists. Get your copies made by the experts at Office Depot. Plus, now get 25% off all finishing services, including binding, laminating, and more. At Office Depot, we get it done right and on time. Office Depot, taking care of business. Available in store only. Offers not combinable with any other offer. Expires July 26th.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Is it too late for Hillary 08?
All we want is a candidate
who can win in 2008.
Carry one red state. Oh, would that be Hillary? Someone to get the White House back.
Give the right wing a heart attack.
A gay?
A Jew?
A black?
Oh, couldn't it be Hillary? You know, women would all support me. I'd be hard to beat.
And men love her just because her
is allowed to cheat.
You're not someone the South will back.
We need morals, we're way off track. Who's got just what I lack? Oh, vote for Dr. Phil and me.
Oh, those wacky capital steps. A couple of weeks back, we invited Will Bauer on the show. He is one of the activists who continues to support Hillary Clinton, who rejects Barack Obama as the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party, and is one of the operators of a website, JustSayNoDeal.com. Will Bauer, welcome back to the PBC show.
Great to be here, Peter. Thank you.
Now, in between visits here, I understand you made a trip behind enemy lines. I saw a clip of you on the Fox News Channel.
I've been on the Fox News Channel quite a few times these past few weeks.
They enjoy the kind of chaos that you might inject into the campaign this year?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. The way I look at it is this is such a crazy time that, you know, we're making friends with people across the aisle, and it's been kind of exciting to have conversations with people a year ago I would have never spoken to.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are fractures in the Democratic Party as well, even among those who were supporting Barack Obama when we spoke 2 weeks ago, Will.
Oh, and exactly. You know, when we spoke last, you know, there wasn't a phenomenon of Obama pumas, and now there are.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who have been supporting Obama from the beginning. And as soon as he dropped campaign finance reform, that was the gunshot for many of his supporters. They started coming over to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just one thing after the other, whether it was FISA or the death penalty or Iraq. The list just kept going on and on.
And, Will, I have to say,
Obama pumas.
I have to say, for me, Barack Obama's vote in favor of the FISA amendments bill in the Senate last week was as craven, calculating, and disappointing as Hillary Clinton's vote in favor of the presidential authorization to use military force that she took in the fall of 2002 and never quite separated herself from. So, for me, I put it in that context, not to go neener with you and ask you to defend Hillary's vote, but to try to explain to you that I put Obama's failing in that significant of a category. And so I invited you back on the show today because I feel that some of my listeners, who are probably even further left than I am, are considering some way of trying to send a signal to Barack Obama that they will not be taken for granted or taken advantage of. And one of the things that I want to float here for your comment and for listener comment this hour is the idea of opening up the convention. And really, you know, allowing the delegates to honestly evaluate these candidates at the time of the convention, okay, which is only 9 weeks from Election Day itself, and might be a more accurate barometer than decisions that, say, California voters like me made last February.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, the number one thing that we all need to do, whether you're an Obama supporter or not, if you really care about democracy, is to make sure that Hillary Clinton is allowed to have her name put into nomination. Donna Brazile is doing her darndest to keep that from happening. I mean, and that goes beyond, well, I won't say beyond, but it's akin to the Supreme Court in 2000. They're literally trying to shut her out so that mm-hmm. she can have no voice. And one of the tactics they were going to use, you know, there was all this talk about her debt. Now, there's no legal reason that Hillary's name could not be put in the nomination because of her debt. But the DNC was looking to use that as an excuse.
Explain. Well, explain that, because I haven't heard that part of it.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of this comes from our good sources on the inside, but originally they told Hillary that she had until convention to pay down her debt, and then mm-hmm. we started making money for her. Then they moved the date up to July 15th, and we started making a lot of money for her. Then they said July 11th, and when they did that, everyone started phoning them and going on the air and protesting the DNC. And you know,
well, Will.
And the DNC said, oh, no, that's not true. Of course her name will be on the roll call. But now what we're realizing is the roll call itself is not the same thing as putting her name in nomination. Being on the roll call is completely symbolic. If her name is not put in the nomination, then that's irrelevant.
Well, I agree, and let me make a couple of comments here. First of all, I do not approve of the DNC playing those kinds of games, because you're correct. While I think that her debt is something that should be acknowledged as one of the failings of her campaign, I don't think that it's fatal. And number two, I don't think that it's in any way connected to the fact that she placed second, a very strong second, in the primary totals, and that I believe that her supporters should be entitled to enter her name in nomination. I cannot see any reason why we should have a Soviet-style convention.
Well, and you say Soviet and also German, I would say, in terms of the stadium. The stadium isn't to be inclusive to Obama supporters. The stadium is completely about drowning out Hillary's voice. He does not want to give his speech in a room that is divided.
Well, now, wait, Will, I think you're projecting there. I really do. Why do you see that as a slap against Hillary? I think that it's a slam against the whole convention and the party, and that he's saying, I'm bigger than you are. But I do not see this as a personal attempt to silence Hillary or her supporters.
Well, I guess we have a different take on this. I see it as a way of drowning out protest.
I see it as a way of him trying to rise above the sense of being captive to the Democratic Party and trying to demonstrate to Colorado voters, and he does hope to win Colorado. He's trying to put it in play, and the polls show that he might. And so I just think that you're taking that one a little too personal, Will.
And it could be both of these. We might be both right, but I guess maybe I am a little more cynical and pessimistic of his tactics.
Now, I want to open up the phone lines here, and there are no right or wrong answers. I'm willing to hear any point of view. If you are an Obama supporter who, like me, is very angry over the FISA vote, and you want to explore the idea of supporting Hillary Clinton at least as far as putting her name into nomination and allowing the delegates to be released and vote their opinions and their consciences, even on a second ballot, these are things that we can talk about, and I'd really like to take the temperature of you, the listeners of the Peter B. Collins radio show, and tell me, have these moves, and it's not just the FISA vote, Will articulate it, Barack Obama has made many moves on the death penalty, on gun laws, on campaign finance, on Israel, and I think that many people who supported him over Hillary throughout the primary process are having some second thoughts. So here's a way for you to express your second thoughts, and let me know just how far you're willing to go to send that message to Senator Obama. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, we'll talk a little bit about this, because I am impressed that your group has been able to get pledges of upwards of $6 million to help retire the Clinton campaign debt. Where's this money coming from?
It's coming from voters, just like the people listening to this show. There are a lot of different movements to pay down Hillary's debt. And a few weeks ago, one of the coalition members, Real Democrats USA, they put forth an initiative to target the 4th of July, and they also chose $20.08 as an amount to inspire people for 2008. And so we had Just Say No Deal started pushing that over, you know, on all of our other coalition members so that they could hear about it, know about it, and get all of their members excited about it. And just within that short week, we raised a lot of money to help pay down this debt, and the DNC is being forced to take us even more seriously than before.
Mm-hmm. Now, Will, I'll just tell you that I reacted a little badly to a comment that you made on the Fox News channel. They played this clip of Obama. He did one of those joint appearances with Hillary Clinton, and he forgot to ask for the money. So he had to interrupt the Stevie Wonder music that was playing and get the crowd's attention again. And he did a kind of lame job of saying, by the way, we need to help Hillary out with her debt. And they played that clip, and then they cut to you on the Fox News channel. And in a kind of snarky way, you said, Senator Obama, we don't need your help. Well, I just want to tell you that when I see that, I feel like you are going beyond this important struggle inside the Democratic Party, and you're really kind of inviting in the interlopers, particularly the people on the Fox News channel. Will, they're not your friends, okay? And they're going to use you and get you to make a silly soundbite and then repeat that 50 million times on Hannity and Combs.
Well, there are a couple of things. First, I'll say that politics makes strange bedfellows, and we discussed that earlier. Secondly, it speaks to the frustration that so many of we, you know, of us Clinton supporters feel. We feel that she's being held hostage by this whole process. And you were probably hearing some of the frustration in my own voice about that. We don't want to feel beholden to Obama, and we've proven that we aren't. So you're right. I mean, there probably was a little bit of a passion in my voice when I said that. But I think that it needs to be put out there. We are not beholden to Barack Obama, and I wanted to make that clear.
All right, fair enough. And also, in terms of strange bedfellows, Howard Wolfson has joined the Fox News channel. What'll come out of his motor mouth is anybody's guess. And Karen Hughes has joined Mark Penn, the former head of the Clinton presidential campaign over there at Burson Marsteller. Inside the Beltway, they're all strange bedfellows.
Yeah.
Stand by with us. We're going to continue Will Bauer and take some phone calls, too. And if you want more information, the website is justsaynodeal.com. One more time, justsaynodeal.com. Are you ready to bolt from the Obama campaign? Would he get the message if Hillary's name is entered into nomination in Denver? And shouldn't it be anyway? 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Jake, I haven't heard from you in ages. It's time for you to surface, dude.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we'll start you off in Monterey County, eastbound 68, Laguna Seca. We still have a crash with a couple of cars clearing off to the shoulder. Turns out no injuries after all. CHP is on the scene taking a report. For Seaside, southbound 1 at the trees, we have a big piece of sign with a pipe sticking out. That's in the right-hand lane. Cars swerving to avoid that as they go by. More debris in Gilroy, south 101 after Monterey Street. Two pieces of plywood in both of the lanes there. And for the Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 after Idlewild Drive, watch out for pieces of metal debris in both of the lanes there. CHP on the way to a traffic break to get that out of your way. This report brought to you by Orkin Pest Control, where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I am Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open for you here in the free speed zone. Toll free, 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Democrats, progressives, left-leaning individuals. Was Barack Obama's vote on FISA in favor of immunizing the Bush administration and the telecoms and drastically expanding the government's ability to monitor American citizens without court orders or other warrants, was that a fatal vote for you? And does it leave you saying, wow, I think I'm going to give Hillary another look? Because as Will Bauer and the folks from the Just Say No Deal coalition point out, if the process is allowed to work as intended, her supporters should be able to enter her name and nomination in Denver and allow the delegates to make a determination. Now, there are more delegates currently committed to Barack Obama than Hillary Clinton. But that could change for a variety of reasons, and after the first ballot, in general, my history of the Democratic Party is that the delegates are released to vote their conscience or their minds. And are we afraid of democracy? Are we going to sit here and say, oh, like Donna Brazile, according to Will Bauer, we don't want to let the unexpected occur? Well, we're taking your call. Steve and Salinas from a phone booth. Thanks for dialing up and paying for it, Steve. Hi.
Well, it's 88 Peter B, so I don't have to pay for it.
Oh, good. We paid for it.
Okay, yeah. I kind of hope they both drop out, and I hope they can't decide on Hillary or Obama, so they choose John Edwards. Because the only negative he has going with two negatives, he's rich and good-looking. And I wish I had those negatives. But the other two have so many negatives, you know, I've lost all respect for Obama.
Well,
I just support him.
Will, that's not really within the realm of possibility, and I think we can toss
it
out.
It is within the, well, no, what's interesting is back in February, when was it? It was February, I think, or maybe early March. I wrote an article called There Shan't Be Blood. And at the time, I was still feeling a little friendlier to Al Gore than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone could still be the Democratic nominee after August. As long as, there isn't a maximum number of delegates and the delegates can vote their will. You know, I wrote a piece where basically Jimmy Carter puts Al Gore's name in the nomination because we can't decide on Hillary and we can't decide on Barack, and even Al Gore could walk away the nominee in August. So it is a possibility.
Yeah, but wouldn't we have to send the Rules Committee on a month-long vacation to Afghanistan?
I don't know the details of how it would have to be worked out, but I think as long as there's no winner on the first roll call,
mm-hmm.
that anyone can be placed in the nomination and the delegates can pick that person to be the Democratic nominee.
Okay, I'm not an expert on the rules of the Democratic Convention, but the way I recall it, Will, I believe the names have to be placed in nomination before the first roll call, and I don't believe you can add more names after that.
Well, you might be right. I can't speak to that. It's just that's how I was taught it could happen, and I don't know the details to back it up.
Okay. Steve, anything else?
That should do it. Thanks a whole bunch.
All right. Appreciate your call. 888-5-PETER-B. Weigh in on this. Is Obama's FISA vote or the other tilts to the right, is that just too much for you, and are you willing to give new consideration to Hillary Clinton? Will Bauer would like to hear you say yes to that. 888-573-8372. Don in Eureka, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Peter B. And the answer is yes, he's lost my vote.
Okay.
And actually, the real reason why he lost my vote, the number one, was expanding his position on the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then the FISA was it.
Yeah.
And I just do not support.
I'm offended by the way he criticized the Supreme Court for limiting the use of the death penalty. But to be fair, he had articulated the position on child rape and his general support for capital punishment prior. So it may come as a surprise to you, but it wasn't really a change of position. FISA clearly was.
I hear your point. I just had not heard that on the Peter B. Show, which is my primary news sources.
Wow, that's a heavy burden for me, Don.
Sorry about that, Chief, but I love you. I think you're fantastic, and really blessed that you are on my radio station here in Eureka.
Will, you got a comment?
No, it's music to my ears. And I would just say, tell Nancy Pelosi to tell her delegates to rethink the popular vote.
Yeah, if I may add to that, say I contribute to Cynthia McKinney because I contribute to Cindy, the other Cindy.
You mean Cindy Sheehan?
Sheehan.
Uh-huh.
Because I want Pelosi out there so bad. I'm just absolutely disgusted that Pelosi and Harry allowed the votes to come to the floor on this despicable bill.
Well, I share your pain there. Thank you, Don. Will, you want to stay with us a few more minutes? Do you have the time?
I do, and to speak on Nancy Pelosi was very interesting in all of this. She
well, let me stop you there because you can tell that story after the break. Otherwise, you're going to be cut off in 10 seconds, and people will be irritated. We're going to continue with Will Bauer. JustSayNoDeal.com if you want more information.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FriarTucksRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tuck's, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tuck's, great food, great fun.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course, it's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Lines open for you in the free speech zone. You can experience the National Security Agency's enhanced eavesdropping efforts. Call in now. Let me know if you're ready to dump Obama and embrace Hillary for the first time or maybe the second time. Lines open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I am waiting for my first phone call from a self-confessed iPhone 3G owner. So if you want to be that person, 888-573-8372. We continue with Will Bauer, part of the Just Say No Deal Coalition. And, Will, before I go to one other thing I want to mention here, on the website JustSayNoDeal.com, it reads, Just Say No Deal is not affiliated with any political campaign, has not endorsed any candidate, and contrary to rumors, is not funded by the GOP. I should know. I put it on my credit card. Now, is that in your voice?
That is not in my voice. That is in the voice of Diane Mantuvalos.
Okay.
Out of Miami. She's with HigherHeels.com, and she was the one that spearheaded the very first coalition call of 20 members, one of which I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Just Say No Deal was born.
Okay. Now, has not endorsed any candidate. Isn't that a bit of a stretch? I mean, isn't it real clear that Hillary's your candidate?
90% of us, yes. There are some of us, though, that have already set our sights on November and have moved beyond convention. You know, most of us are still looking at August, but not all of us. So we want to be as inclusive as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I wanted to tell you about something that intrigued me. Earlier today, we did a segment called Follow the Money on FISA. And we took a look at the telecom contributions in Washington over the last few years and over this year. And at the website maplight.org, they conclude that a large number of Democrats who have received pretty steady contributions from AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint changed their posture. That in a vote in March, they opposed telecom immunity, and in the vote in June, they supported it. And one of the things that I found fascinating when we follow the money, Will, is that of the presidential candidates this year, John McCain has received the most money from telecommunications firms, $366,000. Hillary Clinton is in second place, $246,000 and change. And Barack Obama is in third place, but not that far behind Hillary, at $220,000. So I ask you, her vote against FISA, which I really appreciated, I have to say, was that driven by her courage and her ability to look a campaign donor in the eye and say, sorry, you don't own me? Or was this political expediency, knowing that she could divide lefties like me by being on the other side from Obama on this critical vote?
Well, this is my theory, and it is speculation, but this is how I sense it intuitively. I think it is the first. I think that the reason why so many people within the hierarchy of the Democratic Party do not want Hillary Clinton is that if and when she wins the White House, she will be by far less beholden to special interests than many. Yes, she still will be beholden, as any president is, but the thing is, if she gets the White House, she'll get it because she is Hillary Clinton. She isn't a manufactured candidate at this stage. She's an icon. And I feel that in the White House, those are the kinds of things she could do. She could say, look, I'm Hillary Clinton. I don't have to answer to this special interest or to this group of people. I can do what I want. And so that's why I feel that she hasn't got a lot of support from her own party, because they want a weaker candidate in the White House. So I feel that vote is representative of that, of her ability to act independently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take some more calls here. John in Carmel Valley. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Will Bauer.
Last week I was calling the Congress the Jezebel and Ahab Congress, and over the weekend I changed it to the Judas Iscariot Congress, and your figures, those paltry figures that they sold out for, not that big ones would have made it right.
Yeah.
It's just that pieces of silver, these were not even copper coins as far as what those utility companies could afford. They must have all been laughing on the way to the bank.
Well, and John, I imagine not all my listeners are big AC/DC fans, but that song, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, really fits this sellout, baby. I mean, that's the thing. Even on a political basis, I have been scrambling to try to find an adequate trade-off for this huge constitutional cave-in. They got extended unemployment benefits and a GI Bill that Bush and McCain opposed and now say they support it. That's the trade-off, other than the telecom cash. Go ahead, John.
I'm equally mad at Barack Obama because he was part of it, but I'm not going to vote for Hillary.
Okay, explain.
I'm at the point where I think he owes the entire electorate an apology and a promise that he'll never engage in this kind of breach again. I mean, we just have to stop electing people, no matter who they are, and expect them later, after they've given us this kind of evidence, that they're going to turn out to be nice guys. They're not. He's given us the biggest possible sign that he's not fit to be president. And if we don't pay attention to that, well, we're dumber than dumb. I know it's terrible to have to say this, but I don't know what else to say.
I hear you, John. It's painful. Thank you very much. We go to Fred in Santa Cruz. Welcome, Fred. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
How are you, Peter B.? Very interesting conversation today. My problem with going along with Mr. Bauer and if Hillary would get selected at the convention, I don't think she has any chance whatsoever of winning, because she would lose the black vote and an awful lot of people who, despite being disillusioned with Barack, still see him as the best. As the best candidate. My goal is to elect a Democrat, and at this stage, I don't think there's anybody other than Obama that has a chance of getting elected.
Well, Fred, in general, I agree with you. I do think that these moves to the right have unfortunately eroded a solid foundation with the progressive wing of the party that Obama built. And so it does cause everybody, including me, to say, well, wait a minute. You know, Hillary didn't address this issue either, to be fair. Now, Will Bauer, and let me ask you this, because you followed her campaign maybe even more closely than I have, but I don't recall any comments that she made during the campaign promising to vote against immunity or promising to vote against this bill. Am I wrong?
I don't remember that conversation either, and I don't necessarily fault her. I just don't remember it being on anyone's radar.
It didn't. It certainly. Well, I do want to be fair to her because it was not raised by any of those morons running the debates this year. They wanted driver's licenses for illegals and a bunch of gotcha questions, but nobody asked about Gitmo, nobody asked about torture, and nobody raised the questions about these important wiretapping and eavesdropping issues. So, but I just wanted to ask if you knew more than I did because I don't recall her taking firm positions, and so her vote on this did come as a surprise to me.
And I'd also like to speak to the caller's issue of electability, and I disagree there strongly for a variety of reasons. Firstly, I would say that the Hillary supporters have, you know, some of us have proven that we're willing to vote for McCain in November if need be, and my intuition tells me that Obama supporters are much less likely to go there. Secondly, I would say that the Puma conversation that we're having right now, we have been reaching out to McCain supporters, and we've got a conversation going. And I think a lot of those McCain supporters, if they get a chance to vote for Hillary, they'll say, you know what, she's a fighter, we respect that. John McCain, we were never really that excited about him in the first place. You know, I think Hillary is getting more popular as time goes on. And I think we saw that within the course of the five-month primary.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thirdly,
you can respond in a sec. Let's have a conversation here. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, this is Fred again. I think you're dreaming if you think any Republicans or any great number of Republicans are going to vote for Hillary. I mean, you know.
I certainly agree. I think she unites the Republicans in fear.
As of December 2007, you would have been right. But I think that the whole conversation about Hillary Clinton has changed this year. And I think, you know, we've seen it with Fox News. They took a tone that we would have never expected them to have taken with her. I think she's much more favorably viewed by this country.
Will, thank you. Thank you for the concession there that, you know, the impression of December 2007 was a certain way. But I believe that your friends at Fox News, sorry, and that the right wing in general went easy on Hillary because once they saw Obama in the lead starting in late February, they wanted to bleed him as much as possible. And with I'm not over emphasizing Limbaugh's Operation Chaos, but it's a symptom of what was going on in that mindset. And so they eased up on Hillary, and they didn't use a lot of the nasty stuff that they would use on her should she become the nominee out of the convention and run against McCain in the fall.
Well, I see that, but what I see more is that that Fox is aiming for the viewership of the swing voter now. I think they're not as hardcore right as they used to be because of, you know, the shenanigans of the Republican Party in the last few years. Fox News has also had to move towards the center. And I think that they know that the swing voters of this country are intimidated by Barack Obama, and they wanted to see pro-Hillary pieces. I don't think it's as much of an agenda as to just destroy Barack Obama.
Well, I'm not an expert on Fox. I don't watch it that often, but I did spend 20 minutes Friday night watching Sean Hannity, and I got no indication that they have, moved anywhere near the center. I want to move to another caller here, and, Will, you did have one more comment for Fred.
It had to do with electability, and this is going to sound, I don't want it to sound calculating, but, you know, I'm kind of a wonk about elections, and I try to figure out who decides how these elections go. And basically, I boiled it down to independent-minded women live close to rivers. And that sounds funny, but if you look at how that block of voters vote, they determine the election every 4 years. And I believe Hillary Clinton can still inspire that block of voters, independent-minded women who live near rivers.
Now, are these retired soccer moms, or are they divorced from office park dads?
soccer moms, married moms, NASCAR wives, you name it. But,
all right, and where are the NASCAR dads? Are they down by the river, or are they in the river?
These are river people.
Hey, Fred, thanks a lot for your call today.
You're very welcome.
Good to talk to you. And, Will, I just want to give you the option here. I asked you on for half an hour. We're 15 minutes over. Do you want to go 15 more minutes, or do you need to go?
I can go until 8:59, and then I'll have to go.
Okay, that's going to work. So let's squeeze in one more call before the break. Pat in Eureka. Hello, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
I have to agree with the caller who can't vote for Hillary or Obama. When a constitutional lawyer, professor of law, constitutional law, votes against the Constitution, something stinks. And as far as I'm concerned, the whole Democratic Party stinks at this point, damn near. And I think I'm going to have to vote for Bob Barr, even though he's a jerk. He's at least for the Constitution.
At least. You are correct. He is for the Constitution, and I have to give him credit because Bruce Fein, who's been on our program many times, and I hold my nose because Bruce Fein was part of the Ken Starr impeachment team,
yes.
But he is a constitutionalist, and he's been fighting with us
yes.
for a return to constitutional law and rule, and that is what Barr is standing for, among other things.
And I think it's time that people say enough's enough. And I don't know any other way to say it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Pat, you said it. Thank you very much.
Thank
Will,
you.
You want to add to that?
Well, yeah, Peter, I'd like to say this is exactly why we at the deal, we haven't endorsed a candidate, even though it sounds like we're endorsing Hillary. It's because we want to leave room for callers just like, I'm sorry, what was her name?
That was Pat.
Pat, mm-hmm. for people like Pat. Because you don't have to vote for Hillary or McCain. You just have to agree that Obama is not the right candidate in November, and it sounds like she's on board with us.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Will Bauer. There's room for another couple of callers. Don't be shy. Call me from your car. We don't mind. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Are you ready to throw Obama under the bus? It's pretty crowded there with Reverend Wright and all those other characters. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. To the Peter B. Collins Show. You can share a podcast of any portion of this program with your friends. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Checking traffic for the final time this evening on KRXA. We'll start you in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Southbound Highway 17 before the summit. Broken down pickup truck. That's blocking the right-hand lane. For Morgan Hill, northbound 101 at Cochran Road. Watch out for a stall that's partially blocking the right-hand lane. Gilroy, south 101 after Monterey Street. We still have reports of two pieces of plywood in both of the lanes there. CHP on the way to do a traffic break to get that moved out of your way. Monterey County, Highway 68 going eastbound at Laguna Seca. Two-car crash should be in the final clearing stage. Is off to the right-hand shoulder. CHP is on the scene. Down in Big Sur, some better news. Highway 1 now open. We had problems for several weeks because of the ongoing Basin Complex fire. Everything opened last night, so that's much better news for the area. And this is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. Have a great night. I am Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays
following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Oh, Shante, Shante, sing a little Paris song. Shante, Shante, everybody sing along. Let's all sing when...
July 14th is Bastille Day. I think it is. This is the day we're celebrating it anyway. And I dug into the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives, searched the word Paris, and Dinah Shore comes up from 1957.
Did you have a snack at night which didn't quite agree? Let's do what they do, the people of Paris.
Chante, chante, sing a little Paris song.
So if there's a French person nearby, give him a kiss on each cheek, will you? We continue with Will Bauer, JustSayNoDeal.com, and Larry emails from the safety as an expat in Costa Rica. I don't know when the primary is there, Larry. I'm starting to feel nauseous. This is not serious. It was a terrible vote, but I don't believe for a minute that these people, and I think he's referring to you, Will, support anything I support. I mean, isn't it clear that something weird is going on? Example, Jesse Jackson. Well, I'm sorry, he's in his own orbit, Larry. He refers to you saying, this guy is not telling the truth about what he's doing and what he thinks. Fraud, fraud, fraud. This is establishment, not progressive. This is a-holes on parade. Well, Larry's worked up. What do you say to that, Will?
Well, I didn't quite follow. Could you translate for me?
Well, it was originally written in English. Anyway, he just thinks that you're some sort of a provocateur or some sort of, undercover agent of some sort.
Well, I've been accused of being a plant for McCain, and I've been accused of being a plant for Obama. And if I were able to pull off both, that would be pretty amazing.
All right, Gina in Salinas, one comment, please.
Oh, hi. We talk like the black vote is equal to all the other votes, or the white.
Uh-huh.
It's only 12% of the whole population black.
In some states, it can be critical.
In some states.
Right.
But Obama only did well in the caucus states.
Not true. But that he did do well in caucus states, but not only.
Well, but not very many.
Well, no, that's not true. He won many others, but they weren't the most populous states. He didn't win Pennsylvania and Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we really don't know until we get to the convention what's going on. For real.
Well, it depends whether democracy reigns or whether it's, the power of party leaders. Right, Will?
Bingo.
Yeah. And so, as you heard, I'm really not opposed to or afraid of democracy.
I'm not either.
And I really would like to see a nice convention that's unpredictable and that allows people to sort through these issues. And I acknowledge that Hillary Clinton ran a strong second place campaign. And she is within reach if certain things shift, particularly among superdelegates. There's still a few who aren't fully committed. And, Will, didn't a couple of superdelegates flip last week after the FISA vote?
Yes, 5 pledged and 3 super.
Uh-huh. So there was a little bit of movement there.
Well, with the way things are going right now,
165 more to do the same.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
With the way things are going, everything falling in, just it's like we're imploding. Everybody may change their mind.
All right, Gina, thank you very much. Megan Salinas, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I enjoy your program. It's always very informative. I've got a few things that I've been listening to here, points that have been thrown out, and I've just got to comment on some of them.
Well, you just unload, Meg. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. As far as the FISA vote goes, it's not something that I'm pleased with, but I also realize that the Republicans have a tendency to, and we haven't seen it a bit, but we're going to see it, where they use the terror issue. They bring out this orange alert, they're going to do this. Like they always do. And how is Obama going to look having voted no or having voted, the way that we're disappointed that he didn't vote, right, on this issue? When they do this, they're going to say, aha, you see, he's, you know, they're going to use that whole argument that that they've used in the past. And so
I hear you on a political level, but to me, the Constitution is much more important than even this November election.
Well, I know the Constitution is important, but I cannot countenance
his vote.
No, well, the Constitution is important, but to me it's so damn important that why the heck would I want to go voting for Bob Barr?
Well, or John McCain. I mean, in simple terms, the Supreme Court, with a John McCain presidency, would approve every wiretapping bill that came up and every torture bill that came up, and it would be god-awful. And that is
exactly.
That is the one part of this threat that I can't stomach and that I don't actually believe, which is that some Hillary voters, supporters, would actually vote for McCain. Will, can you respond to that?
Well, no. I mean, I agree with you that it would be a very bitter pill, and very few of us would feel great about voting for John McCain in November. It's just that many of us are prepared to do that, and we're looking at what we consider to be the bigger picture and the betterment of the party. And I understand that you disagree with that view, but it would be a bitter pill that we would take for the greater good, in our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and why we expect this candidate not to move to the center when all the other candidates have moved to the center?
I can,
got to be different than everybody else.
I can handle the center, but the constitutional sellout is a deal breaker for me. I just have to be honest about that. One more point, please.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Let me try to find it here.
Okay.
Let's see. Iraq. You know. Obama's the person I see that is going to be taking us out of Iraq, and I don't see that with McCain. And I think that this group, Will, your group, and others that say that they support Hillary, and as I said, others, not just necessarily you, so take this where you want. But we don't know that everybody here is exactly a Democrat or that they're progressive. They could be Republicans, as we've seen in the past, and saying that they support Hillary, but they're really just trying to get us to, as you know, somebody said, implode. No, I see that Obama's the person that's going to be taking us out of Iraq. I don't see that with McCain.
He wrote an op-ed for the New York Times today that's worth reading.
To sacrifice more soldiers and more youth. By the way, I sit on a school board. More soldiers and more youth to this senseless war in Iraq.
Gotcha, Meg. I'm out of time. Thank you very much. Will Bauer, thank you for spending this hour with us, and we'll talk again.
I look forward to it, Peter. Have a great night.
I'll be at the convention in Denver on Radio Row. Stop by, okay?
I'll see you there.
Good.
To you until we meet again.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Dare you do it again? We'll be here tomorrow. We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène. Which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happens.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
This is the biggest economic crisis since the Great Depression.
University of Maryland economist Peter Morici says the financial markets were deeply shaken by the spread of the mortgage crisis to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they're not reassured by the Fed's plan to prop the two companies up.
It's going to hurt a great deal. I think you saw it in the stock market today. Although Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are nowhere near failing, the decline in financial stocks and the stock market generally indicated a general loss of confidence. People are becoming more pessimistic all the time. and the government seems to be reacting from crisis to crisis as opposed to taking leadership to get us out of this mess.
The Fed acted to reform mortgage lending in general today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
The Fed action seeks to make sure the kind of free-for-all lending that led to the mortgage meltdown won't happen again. It requires lenders to make sure borrowers can afford their payments, prove their income, and understand the kind of loans they're getting. Democrat Barney Frank, who heads the House Financial Services Committee, notes Congress gave former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan the power to rein in these loans 10 years ago.
If Greenspan had done in 1998 what Ben Bernanke is doing today, we would not have the dimensions of the crisis we now have.
Still, Frank says these are good rules that should prevent future problems. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
General Motors, the subject of bankruptcy rumors after its June sales figures came out, plans a major announcement in the morning. Keith Crane is publisher of Automotive News Magazine.
Their sales are all down dramatically. They're shutting down plants for those vehicles, and they're desperately trying to figure out how they can come up with small fuel-efficient cars overnight. A impossible task.
So as a stopgap, CEO Rick Wagoner is expected to announce more plant closings and layoffs and perhaps the elimination of some brands like the gas-guzzling Hummer. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says the company is in a tailspin.
It's hard to believe that General Motors stock is now at a single digit. It closed the session below $10 a share. It is now at a 54-year low. So the tide has certainly turned for the auto industry, and GM, a giant in the industry, is now having to change the way it does business, basically because consumer confidence is falling as we have gasoline